Take this opportunity to welcome members, to welcome the Minister of Home Affairs, the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, and the delegation that we see here. And as we will be introducing ourselves as we proceed with the meeting, the agenda for this morning meeting, colleagues, is not much. We say follow-up. It's a follow-up meeting from a meeting that was held last week, Asian meeting that was called last week after the visit of the Portfolio Committee to Desmond Tutu Refugee Center in Tshwane. Having done the fire blades at the OR Tambo, of which we have not yet even looked into the issues that we dealt with, we felt that it's important that we deal with this matter that we'll be discussing this morning, an urgent matter that require urgent attention. On those basis, I'm going to request that we do a quick a roll call of who's here. And I see that the minister is the delegation. Maybe what we'll do is firstly to give members to introduce themselves quickly. We'll start with the first person seated next to me, facing me, Honorable Kumede, can start formally.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. This is Donald Kumede, a member of the committee.
Thank you, morning, Chairperson, and my name is Namhle Dambuza, a member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Nomvuzo Shabalala, the member of the committee.
Morning, everyone. My name is Maisela Kikana, the member of the committee.
Good morning, Sanibonani. Good morning. My name is Dineo Raputi.
Morning, my name is Lengiwe Mkhalipi, a member of this committee, and Chair, I would like to apologize. I have to go to the House, and then I'll rejoin the committee later.
Morning, Chairperson. My name is Archibald Figler, a member of the committee. Thank you.
There's a member I don't see from the DA today. Hossein? Where is Hossein? You don't know. He's coming. He's going to be late. Okay. All right. Introduce yourself quickly, Mama, as you sit.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, my game, Mama. Yeah, my game. Political discipline. The meeting is starting off past 9. Yes, Mama.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tandwe Kenye, member of this committee.
Thank you very much. Thank you. My name is Lomani Chauke, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Minister, you can do the... Someone to... Minister, you can do the introduction.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. We appreciate the opportunity to appear before the committee. We are accompanied in the delegation by the Deputy Minister, Comrade Fatima Chohen, the Acting DG, Mavuso. We have Jakey McKay, the DDG Immigration Services. We have Mandla Madumise, who is the Chief Director, Asylum Seeker Management. We have Bangwalang Chilwane, who is the Manager at the Desmond Tutu Refugee Reception Center. We have Muzi Njoko, Director, Intergovernmental Relations in the Department. We also have Advocate Koleka Kaleka and Mr. Tamim Sumi, who are special advisors in the ministry. We have many other colleagues. I just turn back, I see a lot of them, and I realize I could take more time introducing them one by one. I hope the chairperson will forgive me if I don't introduce any more. But we have those officials from the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister, and thank you very much for coming to the meeting. Who's present here? I was expecting the Deputy Minister of Police, because we invited the Minister of Police, and we are aware that this morning is dealing with the statistics of the crime in the country, and it was confirmed that the Deputy Minister will attend, and then we receive a confirmation that he will attend, and then we then receive an apology that because it's three line whip in Parliament, the Deputy Minister will not attend. When we receive another apology now that says that the Deputy Minister is on leave now. So one, confirmation, two, three line whip, three, on leave. And that's the Deputy Minister of Police whom we expect that this morning. So there's nothing we can do, but I see that there's someone from the police. Maybe you'll talk about this apology that I've just spoken about. Let me allow you firstly to introduce yourself and then and other stakeholders that are here, and maybe as you do that, you'll be able to talk to us about this apology of the Deputy Minister. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I'm Major General Mutombeni from Gauteng, who's responsible for Tshwane West Cluster, which includes Desmond Tutu Refugee Center. I was supposed to be here with the Provincial Commissioner, Lieutenant General Dilange. She's also sitting on the Portfolio Committee for the Crime. The Deputy Minister, as you have indicated, Honorable Chair, that is the information I'll say I also got in that particular fashion. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, and Honourable Members, I'm Deputy Chief Malan from the Tshwane Metropolis in Tshwane, which is also responsible for the Desmond Tutu Refugee Centre in the city of Tshwane, together with Major General Mutombeni.
Now, the reason that we have called this meeting and have tried to allude to the issues as I was opening the meeting, this is informed by a visit of the Portfolio Committee that happened. As part of our oversight to the Department of Home Affairs, and specifically we looked at the refugee center there, because it has been making some headlines for some time, and we have received a number of complaints that there are challenges the around the office. Chief, our office is namhlanje uzondlula wonke umuntu department. What's happening? Now the reason that we did this exercise was because of the challenges that they were informed of. But again, as part of a follow-up of the portfolio committee meeting that took place some time back, just to go and see how things are, in particular around the issue of harness, which was our area of focus, to look at the progress and to appreciate the progress that the department has made around the implementation of the IT system called HANES. Now, in that engagement with the department, we presented with a number of challenges. And these challenges emanate from criminal elements around that particular area there. We felt very strong as a committee that it's a matter that will require urgent attention and invite all stakeholders to the meeting. So the first meeting took place last week on Tuesday, and we were not able to get all the stakeholders in time. We did write to Metro, Tshwane Metro, we wrote to the police, and there was no response generally except the Department of Home Affairs, which the Deputy Minister attended the meeting. And then we then agreed in that meeting that these issues will not be resolved by Home Affairs alone. These issues will require that the partners that are involved with regard to issues of crime and policing in the area of Tshwane will have to be part of the meeting that we have now called today. The intention of this is to understand the depth of the problems and to find a solution to the problems. Now, we all know that South Africa is a country. We have signed all this international convention with regard to migrants and asylum seekers. And we know for a fact that South Africa, it is a receiving country when it comes to issues of migration. Now, the challenge with that is we are going to be overwhelmed by people who will be coming to the country both as refugees, asylum seekers, and economic refugees. This is what we have been dealing with, I think, for the last 25 years, to be precise. Throughout the whole, years that we have been engaging on this matters, the Department of Home Affairs has been in the forefront of addressing these challenges of migrations by making sure that you put up systems, you make sure that we have visible offices where asylum seekers and those who are applying for refugees and those who will just present themselves found a safer place for them to get services from government. Now this office then becomes critical that they are even monitored not only by ourselves or department, but even international organizations have a particular interest. The UNHCR has a particular interest in making sure that the issues of refugees are attended proper by South Africa, and we know where we are sitting. That we do have some kind of a negative report around how South Africa treats migrants. Some of them may be undocumented persons that we have in the country. Some of them may be your normal refugees, which generally, on the issues of refugees, we don't have much problem. But the issue that you find is asylum seekers and those that are undocumented persons that we'll have to deal with on a daily basis. Now that then one creates an opportunity for those who then want to attack and harass this innocent, desperate individuals that come and present themselves to Home Affairs. Now in the presentation that we receive by Home Affairs, in our meeting, we were informed that there are syndicates of human trafficking and smugglers targeting refugee officers. We were informed that the Metro Police in the area have elements of officers that will harass, search, and take the belonging of some of these asylum seekers that come to present themselves in that particular refugee center in the morning. We are again informed that the police, now it's SAPS now, will do the same in full view of members of the public, and even the officials of the Department of Home Affairs will see the police engage in activities of harassing, arresting, taking the belongings of these individuals that come and present themselves to that particular office, including the CPF, that is not supportive, but they find themselves having to be doing exactly these criminal activities. Now, we informed generally, this emanates from the research that was done by Home Affairs, which document we would not want to engage with, because we understand fully that it was quite a classified or high security document. But we only looked at these issues as they appear. In between that, you then have so-called agents and smugglers. Agents are these people who pose to be assisting asylum seekers as they come to the offices, and they'll do the same of demanding bribes, arresting them, pickpocketing them. Sometimes they'll do this in full view of the police, and police will not do anything. Then we then have officials of the department who themselves now are involved with such a, you know, activities of a fraud, corruption, and distorting money from asylum seekers as they come seeking help from the Department of Home Affairs. In fact, when we were there, we were informed by the presenter that he has just arrested one official who happened to be a security guard and a asylum seeker who were bribing in a, you know, in an arrangement where the asylum seeker was bribing a security guard. I don't know for whatever reason, but we informed that just happened as we entered the office. And the two were arrested by the officer who was there, and they were put in the cells there at the Morava stand. Now, I don't want to go very much in detail of what we then briefed on, but what is important is to hear from the stakeholders that are here today. And we know for a fact that there's a permanent roadblock that is meant by Metro Police rather than the entrance of that refugee center. They'll stop cars, and the information we receive again is that you then find the same issue repeating itself around those who will come there next to the office will be stopped and then extort money and all of that. Now, what is important for us this morning will be to hear from the stakeholders that are here. Maybe firstly, to understand how you coordinate yourselves. Because I'll take it that these problems are not new. The Lawyers for Human Rights, they have made a report, they have done some research around this particular area. Corruption Watch and other organizations have done some work around this particular area. And those reports, I think, are public reports, and I'll take it that both Department, Metro, and the police are in position of such information, maybe. Same with the Portfolio Committee and its engagement around the issues of that particular center. So we'll be interested to hear from stakeholders here that we've invited to talk to us around these issues and what are the solutions to these problems. Now, Committee of Parliament will only do this work through this oversight that we do, but on a day-to-day basis, you yourselves are the ones that deal with these issues every day, are the ones that are exposed to these things every day. So if you can really talk to us, take us through these issues, tell us what are the challenges, where do you want help, maybe if you have problems of budget and all of that, you can talk freely to Parliament and say, we don't have capacity or whatever. We don't know why, right? But we have this obligation as a country to make sure that anyone that presents himself to the office of government for service get that service in a secured environment and free, right? Now, the experience of that Maraba study is not a very good experience. Asylum seekers get dropped off by taxis. They drop them there, inside, right at the entrance. When they are done to receive the services that they went for, they can't go outside until that car has come and pick them up before they watch for them. So they can't leave the center before that car comes back and pick them up, because they're scared to go outside. It's well known, right? People are scared to go to that office. So we need to talk about this thing, find a solution to these issues so that they must not happen again. The point we're making is that it cannot be that in a democratic South Africa we have a situation that there's lawlessness. Criminals just take over and run systems that must be run by government, and individuals then get harassed and all of that. So I thought, members, I do not want to go deeper into the report itself, but just to focus on the issues that we want the stakeholders to address. On the other side, obviously, of our visit, with regards to the harness system and systems that Home Affairs has put, I think the committee was fairly satisfied, and there may be recommendations as we deal with the report moving forward of that particular visit and make some few recommendations. But the committee was very excited that there's so much progress around the issues of fairness. So the only problem is these issues of crime that is at play there in that particular area. So on that note, I will start with the minister is here. Minister, you will want then maybe to lead us into this engagement. Then we'll give the next day, meaning that the Home Affairs will then speak with authority on these issues, will guide us, Minister, the approach that we take. Then we'll request the police, the cluster commander, to talk to us around these issues. And then we'll then ask Metro Police Somaliland to talk to us about these issues. Then we must try and find some kind of a common ground and a way forward with regard to solution. I would definitely have liked to have the executive of the police to be here, especially the deputy minister that speaks with passion issues of migration and this takeover of towns and by outside people and all of that. I thought it was going to be a very wonderful engagement around this, but nonetheless, the area commander is here. We don't have to, we just have to live with it now. But because we are at the operational side, obviously we'll take it that you know issues more than, you know, the other people, because it's you who's more in charge there. So on that note then, Minister, we'll give the department to talk to us about these issues, and then we'll give you, maybe if you can agree that we can give each presenter about 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and then have the next presenter another 20 minutes. I'll take it that you have prepared documents. I see that document here. It's only the police, it is. Except Metro. It's only Metro that did not make a document.
We have a
We have a well-coordinated presentation by ourselves and SAPS from the general side, but I will add up after you have spoken.
Okay. So you're not adding with Home Affairs then in your presentation, meaning that Home Affairs is standalone then. So Metro and the police work together. Home Affairs
yeah.
Oh, I see. No, that's fine. That's fine. We'll come to that point. This is what we want to establish. Minister, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. I must first congratulate you on a very nice tie, Chair. No, Chair, I want to request with your permission that the Deputy Minister makes the opening remarks and lead us in the presentation. Thank you.
I appreciate and I think I like the color of your shirt. It's a good shirt.
Thank you very much, Chair. If I may also just add my congratulations to the respective gentlemen's attire. But also to just note that this morning, hot off the press, the Tanzanian Parliament has banned artificial nails and artificial eyelashes, which I thought was very directed at female MPs. And I'm wondering whether we should ban outrageous ties. And thank you very much.
I saw that last night on TV, the point that you're making, Minister, and I was like, you know, making a comment that it may be that someone was angry because his partner had this long nails and eyelashes, and he went to Parliament and said, ban all of these things. You know, you may not know, Minister, what led to that, but definitely, I think it's a point.
I think the sooner we can get to a discourse that takes away how we look and how we choose to dress, the better.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and once again, thank you to you and the Portfolio Committee for the opportunity to address this very, very important issue. Chairperson, just a few opening remarks, and then the DG will take us through a formal presentation, the document of which is with you. Just to underpin our very, very and abiding concern related to security issues generally. Within the Desmond Tutu Refugee Center and also around the center within the precincts of Marabastad, we have been at pains, as you would know, Chairperson, to ensure that the good name of our hero Archbishop Desmond Tutu Emerentius and the legacy of our hero is always protected and is always associated with our best efforts in terms of our humanitarian obligations, international humanitarian obligations. And we have been at pains to ensure that his good name is not at any time associated with any malfeasance. And therefore, you will find us very sensitive, but also very responsive to any allegations of rights violations, of insecurity, etc., associated with the center. you would know that the renaming was only affected after a mammoth upgrading of the refugee center itself. And in respect to the center itself, I think MPs were able to see firsthand the enormous changes related to access control, the self-service terminals, biometric and digital systems that we use, of which we will speak in some detail in the presentation. In regard to the perimeter and the surrounds of the center, this is clearly a matter of concern for us, both from the perspective of our clients, but also from the perspective of our staff who have to come to work every day, work in that environment, etc. Let me just say that you would remember there was a time about 2 years ago or so, and really that was the last time we've made the headlines in terms of general violence outside the what was then called the Marabastad Center. And we found that very often when there's violence breaking out outside of the center, and it happened both in Cape Town as well as Marabastad at the time, quite a few times, members of this portfolio committee were very quick to call us here and make us account for that kind of general insurrection. We saw patterns in how these incidents transpired. Usually you would recall that in Marabastad there was an open area across the street from the refugee center where people started gathering already at around 4 o'clock in the morning. And they would wait there until around 7:30 when the first officials arrived and prepared them for entry into the center. Very often people would have been waiting for many, many hours by the time the officials arrived. In most of these incidences, we saw a similar modus operandi when about 20 minutes before the center officially opened, there would be a truck or a combi or a van full of young men, usually from a certain nationality, who would then start throwing stones and carrying sticks and throwing these weapons at the waiting people, particularly the women and children in the queues. The men who were with their families then would retaliate, and this would cause general scene of violence. Why these attacks happened and why they were so orchestrated, well, there could be many reasons. It could be that these are people who wanted to jump the queues, but we also think that it had a more sinister intent, much of which was directed, by the way, against our staff who had to try and separate the groups who were engaged in violent confrontation. And many of our staff very often were quite traumatized after these incidences. And so we believe that there was the intention to ensure that there was disruption of the work of the day, perhaps even to intimidate our officials into succumbing to extortion. And this is just one of the reasons why we, around that time, communicated to the SAPS and involved state security as well in assessing what was going on and took measures to ensure that there was a more visible presence of police by way of patrols but also roadblocks at the time. And so we do believe that the reason we have not seen a recurrence of this incident, certainly in the Rabastad area generally, is that there has been this presence. Of course, the things that you allude to are still problems, and our presentation will address this, and the DG will now speak to the six slides, I think, that we've got prepared in this regard in some detail. But that was just to sketch some kind of background as to the security measures both in, but also our concerns related to the surrounds.
Colleagues, I think there's a document that the government has prepared.
No, thank you very much, Chair and members. So I will proceed to slide 2, which just gives the background. I think the Deputy Minister has alluded to some of the challenges and the interventions that were proposed at the time. Just to indicate that there was an IMC on migration in 2015. In May, so it was agreed at that IMC, at the margins of the IMC, that DHA need to approach the sister departments in the net joints in order for us to establish an intervention related to security challenges, both at the time at the then Marabastad Refugee Reception Office and DIRO, which was a second refugee reception office at which was operating in the Tshwane-Shoal Crime, which has obviously subsequently been closed, and we moved all the operations to Desmond Tutu. So in taking the decision to intervene, there were three critical objectives that were identified at the time, and I will talk to them at length, but one of which was the first one was the intelligence gathering, because we needed to understand the environment, what was happening in that particular environment in order for us to be able to respond properly. Second issue was to conduct disruptive operations, because it was clear that between the northern borders and Pretoria, there was a whole lot of operations that were taking place there. So it was important for us to be able to understand that and disrupt those operations. And then the third element was to look internally in the Department of Home Affairs to say, what is it that we're doing to improve the environment inside the center itself? So those were the three areas which we talked about. So subsequent to that, then the task team was established under Net Joints, which comprised of the following, which was the Home Affairs was chairing that task team through the Chief Director of Asylum Seeker Management. There was a project team that was assembled by the department to look at the entire infrastructure. We brought in the state security agents in that, the South African Police Service was brought in that, Project Management Office of the Border Management Authority, and the South African Defense Force. Now, the next slide obviously deals with the issue relating to intelligence gathering. So what we did with the state security agents, obviously, was to gather intelligence on the syndicates that were operating between Marabastad and northern borderline environment. We also profiled safe havens around Pretoria, because what we found is that the people that were brought in illegally into the country, they will then be housed in certain safe havens, and at certain days, obviously, be brought into the refugee reception office to apply for asylum. It was also important that the operation was gathering information on the identified categories, addresses of suspects were identified, where they are located, the modus operandi of the suspect was monitored. There was also what we call intelligence and police surveillance around the area, particularly at the center itself.
And we also conducted the obvious undercover operations, the police and on ourselves and state security. We also did a threat and risk assessment and also profiling of officials, security guards, property owners around Marabastad, because obviously some of those were also, they were seeing this as a booming business in the area. So we had to understand what type of activity some of the property owners conduct within that area. We also, there were also weekly meetings between the Directorate of Priority Crimes and Investigation Anti-Corruption Unit with our DHA Counter-Corruption Unit. On the issue relating to DHA operations, what we then did, Chair and members, we had to improve access and exiting, in the building, and improve the infrastructure, restructure the process flow so that people at some point did not have to meet each other, automate the booking system with the capability for individuals or for asylum seekers to do self-extension, in order for us to eliminate the issue of people being paid to do illegal extensions. We introduced a queue management system and also streamlined some of our operations. We improved the IT infrastructure and environment. We also moved the interpretation services, because part of the problem was also the interpreters, and we moved them to our head office in Hallmark on the first floor, where they are currently located next to our contact center, so that they're then able to do these interviews off-site. So we the telephonic system that was installed. We improved security and surveillance in the building, and also the security of files, by introducing what we call the DocuFile electronic management system, so that files do not get lost. We also monitor performance of the center, obviously, in order for us to evaluate the impact of our interventions. The new legislation, obviously, focuses on integrity, testing, combating and preventing fraud and corruption, and also dishonesty measures. On the issue, on the impact that all these interventions have derived, obviously, we have seen that there's been efficiencies in the adjudication were also introduced to ensure that the cases that are coming in the center for the first time, obviously, are finalized timeously. So obviously, because remember, the most people were hoping and to ensure that the cases, because the system was now clogged, that it takes long for their cases to be finalized, so that then they remain in the country, for a longer period. We also prioritize the reviews of the Standing Committee on Refugee Affairs, because as you know, that once the Refugee Status Determination Officer makes a particular decision, so obviously CRA must also review those decisions. So we prioritize those cases that are subjected to SCRA reviews. The security of your surveillance in the center has a positive impact. Paperless process for secured filing and easy retrieval, as I've said, through the DocuFile electronic system has assisted quite a lot. We've created a secured working environment, and I'm glad that the chair has indicated that inside the building itself, there's quite good security in the sense that people are comfortable to wait inside while they're waiting to be picked up, because the challenges are outside the parameters, but within our own environment. So it also, that has improved the working environment even for our staff. We also have seen a reduction in the abuse of asylum process. Because what happened is that those who have been, when we first actually automated the bookings and the renewals, we've had a lot of people who were not supposed to actually be receiving renewals, because they were done those fraudulently through a manual process. But when they tried to come in to renew the things through the system, obviously they were not granted that renewal and blocked eventually from exit. So we're then able to deal with those issues. So I think the efficiencies that have been introduced by that has obviously led to people not abusing the system, which is meant to protect the vulnerable and those that were persecuted. So, Chair, in moving forward, obviously, we will continue to work with sister departments in the security class in order for us to enhance security around the premises. Because I think, as you alluded at the beginning, I think this is one of the main challenges, and we
we do get a lot of cooperation from the police, the Tshwane Metro. Except those cases that you've highlighted where there might be issues. And then the issue relating to the private security person that was arrested at the time, in this instance here, I just want to indicate that person had allowed, that security had allowed an individual to exit at the wrong point where it's supposed to be an entrance. So that's what was did. So to enter where it's supposed to exit. So that was detected by the colleagues in the center, and that particular security actually has been removed because of the security of a private company. What we have said to them is that we wanted to ensure that the person actually is dismissed rather than being recycled and placed in another facility, and one day you will come back, you know, in the same environment. So that's what we've asked the chief director to actually ensure that. The security company undertakes that particular commitment to ensure that the individual who is removed from their employment. Obviously, the next issue, Chair, is that we do undertake to say that we'll provide the committee, obviously, with regular updates on this particular matter as we continue to engage with our sister departments in trying to improve. Because I think the area of Marabastad, other than the precinct of where the refugee reception office is located, it's crime infested, you know, so I think, but the police obviously will talk to that issue in terms of the intervention that they're making in that regard. Thank you very much, Chair.
Maybe before we give members, more of your presentation is about we used to have this, we used to do this, we used to, you're not talking to the issue, by the way. I thought that you'll be able to talk to us about the status. What is the situation? Here are the areas that are identified. So you used to have this engagement. In today's meeting, it's clear that there's no engagement between the stakeholders. Hence, if there was an engagement between the stakeholders, you'll have had a meeting today of a joint presentation of people that are working together always to say, now we are called upon by Parliament because we have this committee that is dealing with these matters every day. Therefore, let's prepare as we are doing this work every day. What is important for the committee will be, what is the day-to-day operations, therefore, between yourself and these other stakeholders? Because all these good ideas that you have placed here, initially this is what you started, but it seems that somehow this thing collapsed at some point. It's non-functional. You know, I thought we'll talk about that in DG, because if we're trying to find a solution here, you must be able to say the current challenges that we are faced with is the following. If you don't have the other partners committing to these engagements, it was said in your presentation that the joint task team was established. Of departments, what is the status? Where is that department? Where is that task team now? You know, intelligence gathering and all of that. What is an update now? Are you still engaging with them? Are they still part of the task team? Because you see, this will continue. Sometimes we come with good ideas from the start. Maybe it was towards the launch of the. Of the building renaming, and which the executive speaks obviously with passion about that area. But the operations then, what then happened? Why these things are continuing to happen? And then these initiatives that we have put, wonderful initiatives, are no longer there. You know. So let's agree, members. Maybe what we should do is to allow another presenter to present. We'll give the police to talk to us, but we note the question, right? And then from there we'll then get the Metro Police. I'm told that is a joint presentation. And then if it's a joint presentation on the finding of the portfolio committee on home affairs issues on the January. What makes this what's called this document joint? Are you saying that both of you have worked on this document? Huh? Are you saying this document was is a product of both the metro and the police. This is what you are saying. Dombe, are you saying this is a joint work of these two?
Compiling the document, Honorable Chair, I think it's a compilation of the document from the police. I think what you are trying to indicate is that we work closely together because some of the issues are included with the Tshwane Metropolis.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine.
Let me not be hard on you now.
I'll be hard on you later, not now. For now, I think it's still fine. Because I think what we have just listened to is how Home Affairs has sort of structured itself internally, how they're dealing with the issues, which I do not want to deal much with the operations inside. The problems that we're dealing with generally are problems that are happening at the perimeters, both with an element of having some criminal element within the department, but mostly it's happening outside that office there. We went to the camera room inside the Home Affairs office there. We could see the activities outside the perimeter fence of the department. So most of the systems that the Deputy Minister spoke about, in fact, they are there. Home Affairs is renovating itself, it has put up new systems, and I think the point I'm making, we are happy about that. But the police must talk to us now about their role together with Matro, right? Now, when you present the document in Parliament, if it's a joint document, it must say so that it's a joint document of Metro and the police. It must say so for record, because it does not end here. This thing will be here, will be filed. Because the outcome of this engagement, we are going to make a recommendation. And that recommendation will be made through the report of the Portfolio Committee to Parliament. And once we make the recommendations, we must know that those recommendations will have to be implemented. That is why we expected the creative authority to be here with us today. So whatever decision that we are going to take, in fact, it sort of makes more sense to the executive authority for the implementation of that, having engaged with us. So let me give you a moment to speak to us, and then members, you have the copy of the document of the police. Moment again, talk to us.
Thank you, honourable members, honourable member, honourable chairperson, honourable members. The presentation. We basically gave the background there. The background is basically the visiting of the Desmond Duty Center relating to this mugging in a full view of the police and the challenging relating to soliciting bribes to people who came to the center for the services. The issues around security measures around the Desmond Tutu Refugee Center reception area. The reported crime is 0.3 kilometers radius, Honorable Chair, in and around Marawastad, because if you take it 1 kilometer stretch towards Pretoria West. Operational successes and recommendations. Then the purpose, of course, is to give a feedback to the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs about the allegations that people visiting the Desmond Tutu Refugee Center are mugging in a full view of the police. The allegation that the South African Police Service, Tshwane Metro Police and Department of Home Affairs officials are contributing to the challenges outside the center by soliciting bribes to people who come to the center for services. Chairperson, of the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs indeed invited the Minister of Police and the National Commission of the South African Police Service to come today for the presentation, and we have indicated the apologies thereof to address the issues for the security in and around the Desmond Tutu Refugee Center office. Chairperson, Honorable Chair, I would like to indicate those allegations for people visiting the Desmond Tutu Center, of which it is indicated that people who are visiting the center are marked in a full view of the police. What I could indicate, Honorable Chair, is that we have checked in terms of our systems to say the activities which are taking place there in terms of the policing. We have two cases which were reported for possession of unlicensed firearm because of the activities which is taking place in there by policing. One is in Pretoria West, case of which is around the Sekiam Pashele and Letta Street, where four suspects were arrested. And that case, Chairperson, is enrolled with the court, is still pending, is postponed to the 12th of this month. We have in the second case, which is also possession of unlicensed firearm, where two suspects were arrested, and this case is around Pretoria Central, where upon the case is also enrolled with court, is still pending, is postponed to the 19th of September 2018. Chairperson, would like to indicate that no complaints against the police were reported either at Pretoria West or Pretoria Central. And we appeal that, Honorable Chair, if any allegations can be reported with the police, the cluster commander or the provincial commissioner, it will be investigated. And of course, in turn, departmental steps will be taken, will be taken against the responsible employees. Chairperson, furthermore, we have challenges of soliciting bribes to people who come to the center for services. I must indicate, Honorable Chair, that this is a well-known factor, as the DG for Department of Home Affairs on his presentation indicated the undercover operations. And I must indicate that Maraba Stat is having an interest in terms of the joint National Joint Operation Center, which is in Pretoria, where this center is monitored. Based on that, there was intelligence, those who looked into the activities around Maraba Stat, and the project was registered by the DPCI, which is well known as the Hawks. And we had a takedown at corner of Struben and Esekiam Pashela. And Chairperson, this is the case which happened in 2016, which is case 778 of 7-2016, registered in Pretoria Central. The two suspects were arrested in this case. It was alleged that these two suspects, they are police officials, of which they were not. It's a community patrol, the community patrol program, which is linked to the MEC for community safety, which indeed works closely with the police, and their services were terminated. And the status of the case, Chairperson, it was enrolled in court, and the verdict of not guilty was the outcome. The second case, which of indeed covered these undercover operations, it was an arrest by the Hawks for the person who was impersonating herself as an employee of Home Affairs with a Pretoria Central case 779 of 7-2016 on Corruption Act. As the suspect demanded money from asylum seeker for an amount of 1,500 in exchange of Home Affairs
services. And this case also was enrolled in court, and the outcome also is not guilty. No other corruption cases, Honorable Chair, which were reported to the South African Police Service, as I've indicated previously. The Provincial Commissioner, if there's any case, will investigate any allegation, and of course, departmental steps will be taken against those responsible. Honorable Chair, looking into the security measures at the Desmond Tutu Refugee Reception Center or area, I must indicate, Honorable Chair, that the cluster, we have just to take note that Tshwan West cluster is linked to the province links to head office, but from time to time, myself personally, I get called to the national joint, which is at Snake Valley, to go and account relating to the activities which is also linked to Marawa Start in my personal capacity as a cluster command. I must indicate, Honorable Chair, that we continuously have a disruptive integrated operations in Pretoria Central Policing Precinct, which of course is covered under Sector 4, because the policing precinct is subdivided into a manageable sector. That sector in Marawa Start is Sector 4. And that integrated operations, Honorable Chair, it also includes home affairs. And I must indicate in that sector, under normal circumstances, there are two vehicles which are posted to take care of that sector. And over and above that, we're having a specific car which is deployed on a daily basis, more so where the activities that are happening Monday to Friday. Honorable Chair, of course, we'll intensify the crime prevention activities and intelligence-driven, of which we're focusing on combating the activities which does happen there. There's also some stop and search in a form of operations. Honorable Chair, of late, in terms of disruptive operations, as the DG have indicated on his presentation, we are having Operation Fiela 2, which is linked to Operation Buyamthetho. Operation Buyamthetho, which was launched in the 2nd of August within Gauteng for the purpose of the general crime stabilization, normalization, and sustain. As I've indicated, Honorable Chair, we have dedicated sector vehicle, which is there Monday to Friday, to monitor possible criminal activities on the outside perimeter. Over and above that, Honorable Chair, we're having a CCTV camera which is monitored jointly by the South African Police Service and Metro Police, which is at the corner of Isekiam Pashele and Francis Bart. Specifically, there are two cameras, the one which is covering Isekiam Pashele and Johannes Ramukhwase, which is the street adjacent to the Home Affairs. It's camera number 102. And we also have in the camera which is covering Isekiam Pashele and Broome Street and Marawa Start, which is camera number 67. But I must indicate, Chair, that the challenge we're having, the center for these cameras were at Pretoria, and with the change of the local government, then they had to be removed from Pretoria Street and then to Isekiam Pashele and Francis Bart. And these two cameras at this stage, they are not working because of those typical type of movement, of which is a challenge. And this camera, because there are other cameras which are working, but there's a permanently deployment of a member of the South African Police Service who monitors this camera and the Metro Police, because, of course, those cameras there are for the municipality. Honorable
Chair, I would like just to reflect on the reported crimes as I've indicated. It's a 0.3 kilometers radius in and around Desmond Tutu Refugee Center for April to August. We have got 15 of those cases, of which maybe if I can just quickly summarize is that five of them, they are either still under investigation or some of them, I think there's one which is postponed to, which is booked to court, which is not yet back. So basically those are the cases which are reported within the vicinity chairperson. Honorable Chair, I've indicated the integrated operation, but we did not reflect the issue of the workforce. On the 2nd of August, when this operation Fiela linked to William Teto was launched by the minister in Tembisa, in Tswane, it was indicated that we have to have a parallel operation so that we can give attention to the activities within the CBD. And in that operation, I did not indicate the workforce, but I can indicate that in that operation we had the officials from Department of Home Affairs. We had a total of 8 of them and 3 vehicles that were party to this operation. And out of that integrated operation, those are the successes which we had for the entire operation, of which party thereof includes the Desmond Tutu Refugee Center, of which we have a total of 38 drugs, undocumented immigrants, which we work closely with the Home Affairs. We had 43 tax impoundment. That is critical and key because we have instability from time to time of shooting, like the recent shooting was there next to the Reserve Bank. So there we work with the Gauteng Traffic Police, Tshwane Metro Police, in order to filter into those. Those are the ARTOs which are issued by our sister law enforcement agencies. And we had also customs, SARS, they were playing a role in there. We had also ICASA. We had also the people who were responsible for the security within the CBD and PRASA. Then the second operation, which we have conducted on the 10th as well, Home Affairs, was also present on that one. And I'm having the numbers in here to say how many. It was integrated as well. And we had those outcomes in there. And a total of that, 12 for big crimes, the tax impoundment as a priority in there. Then as one of the priorities in there. Then the fines which were issued by Gauteng Traffic Police, Tshwane Metro Police, customs as well, they seized those goods. And the last operational activity, Honorable Chair, was on the 20th, of which we had the outcome as outlining in there, and the taxes impounded, ARTO fines. And there we had the Department also of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries that were part of us in there. That's why we're seeing those activities there on the bottom. Honorable Chair, the recommendations is that the station commanders, Pretoria West, Pretoria Central, meet with the Department of Home Affairs, and now we have facilitated that there has to be a frequency in terms of this meeting going forward, because from time to time, in terms of working closely with the challenges or to assist each other with the challenges we have at the Desmond Tutu Refugee Center in Pretoria, from time to time, as I've indicated, we are appearing at the national joints, and I worked closely with previously the chief director who was responsible in Gauteng, Masahun, and of which now there's a director who is acting, and then because we also sit together on our provincial joint, and that this issue is also deliberated over and above what is deliberated in them. And we're looking forward to work also closely with Ms. Chilwani, because she's responsible for the center in there at the Small Tutu Refugee Center. We also work closely together with the security manager, who is Mr. Masonganye, who is responsible for the security activities. I must indicate that the chairperson, as the DG's presentation indicated, that in the past 2 years we had serious challenges, more so on Wednesday, where you had the specific grouping, those who were coming in there in Maraba Stad. For example, we had this the East Africa, which I would say East Africa, and then on Friday we had SADC. There was a serious congestion in there, and we initiated the meetings in 2016, of which in that meeting we had this Mr. Mfundo Ngozwani, who was part of the meeting in order to try and look into the problems, of which some of the recommendations were highlighted by the DG in terms of the systems which were put in there. And from time to time, we're going to meet, but we now having a scheduled meetings which we have to meet, if I'm not mistaken, next week, Thursday. We'll start that program and then we'll roll it forward in ensuring that the challenges in and around Desmond Tutu Refugee Center, they are given attention or serious attention. Chairperson, Honorable Chair, complaints against the police, we just appeal that if it can be reported directly to the cluster commander in a way so that one can deal with them directly. I should think it will take us forward so that we have to be in a position to can deal with those. But we are really working closely together with the Department of Home Affairs. And thank you, Chairperson, for the time.
Okay. Members, I think you have noted questions. I'll give you a chance. This document that you are presenting here, did any of your seniors see this document, both your minister or the commissioner of police? Did they approve of what you're going to present today in Parliament?
I have sent it to the provincial commissioner. And in turn, the provincial commissioner has sent it to head office, those who are coordinating this presentation, and then henceforth, it ended up.
I'm sorry, Honorable Chair. Henceforth, it ended up in this portfolio committee. So it went through those channels.
So they were happy that this one must go and present to Parliament.
I wouldn't say.
Now let me tell you, Cluster Commander.
Yes.
You see, sometimes we need to agree that gone are the days. That the department will just wake up, package something in the bullet form, go present to Parliament, Parliament then clap hands. Thank you very much. It was wonderful. We are happy. One of those days, by the way. You know, and the point that I'm making, both with the department and yourself, I'm still going to listen to Metro. The Department of Home Affairs raises a number of serious issues which were presented to the Portfolio Committee. Right? Now, when these issues are raised by the department, then the department comes and everything is fine, you know, we're working fine, there's no challenges. None of these issues are spoken to. And I'm trying to pin out, what is the problem? You come, you present this document that you said has been approved by the National Commissioner of Police that must come to talk to Parliament about the challenges that we have said need to be addressed, and it's fine, and he does not see anything, it's a good document, go present it to Parliament. We'll talk about it later, I'll tell you what's happening with it. Metropolis, can you please talk to us? Let's hear you.
I'm going to speak from my head and add to, yes, and
okay.
Because I do not have a presentation per se. Like I indicated, we are working hand in hand with SAPS.
Can I ask you a question? When this document was compiled, were you invited in the compilation of this document?
I was not per se invited, but that is, we are...
That were you invited in the compilation of this document that must be presented before the Portfolio Committee of Parliament of the Republic of South Africa?
No, I was not invited.
That's fine. Speak from your head then, let's hear you.
But we are talking out of one mouth, because the fact is... Okay, let me put it as such.
Okay, let's do this. Let us just be clear.
Okay.
You're talking from your head, but you're talking from two mouths.
I'm gonna add to what my colleague was saying.
Let's listen to you, ma'am. Don't forget that we have a minister here, right?
No
and we have a deputy minister here.
No problem.
And let's not forget that. If it's just officials or understand that they always like to touch the members of parliament, because there are members like grannies and topies here. So they always allow this thing to happen.
Okay.
But nonetheless, let's give you an opportunity to talk to us, ma'am.
Honourable Chair, you will realise that the Metropolis competency is not to gather intelligence. We do not have that authority, neither to gather information. So we are purely guided by SAPS to assist us with information wherever we respond to crime hotspot, or we plan together. We have to sit together to plan. That is why I'm saying that we are doing whatever the general was presented together. We cannot do it in silos. An instruction was given already a while back that Metropolis cannot work in silos. We have to, whatever operations we do it in conjunction with them, because it cannot be like you do an operation of thumb sucking or for the sake of doing operation to put members out there. It must be understood that why it must be information driven, and that information we do receive through meetings that we have with SAPS that we attend once a week, the Station Crime Combating Forum, as well as the cluster meetings that we as the Metropolis attend once a week, where we join forces for operations on hotspot areas identified by them on either intelligence or information gathered. And we also attend CPF meetings once a month, where the community also raise their concerns, where we also with our partners sit together and plan together. And we as the Metropolis also have community safety forum. It's different than the community policing forum, in the sense of the community safety forum is where we incorporate all security forces, and I must be honest that Home Affairs was never invited to that meeting, but going forward we will definitely invite them as well. The difference between the Community Safety Forum and the Community Policing Forum is the Community Safety Forum, we incorporate all service delivery departments in the city to improve service delivery problems, to avoid situations whereby we have protests and we have and to avoid other criminal activities. What I can also say on operations, where we from the Metropolis are the custodians, because our core competency remains road policing. And Mr. Chair, as you indicated that you saw Metropolis around, or they are in Eskom, I think at the back side of Home Affairs, or sometimes in the front where they stop and search, our role remains the free flow of traffic, whereby they stop vehicles and do random checks. Mr. Chair, I must indicate that no bribery case was ever reported to the Metro Police. The process is, if there are any criminal activities reported, Metro Police does not have the investigating powers. The member of the public, if they might report it to the Metro Police, they will be referred firstly to SAPS to open a docket, and then General Ntombeni will get in contact with the Chief of Police, which is General Nkomo. And then we have a unit in our department which calls Civilian Internal Affairs. Then the necessary investigation will be done. Keep in mind, we can only deal with misconduct from our member side. The case will run parallel to the criminal case that will be run by SAPS. And if the member might be found guilty, he will be dismissed, not awaiting the outcome of the criminal case. And I must also say that there was never any per se specific problems in regards to a specific crime to indicate that there is members involved from the Metro Police to the Metro Police, that there are any fraud or corruption where the Metro Police might be involved. And I can furthermore add to that, we have also a group of members that were identified to work in Marabastad on a daily basis in that precinct together with SAPS to deal on all criminal activities. And then the Metro Police also lead the G-Leaf meeting. I'm not sure if you are well informed about that operation that is running throughout Gauteng, and Metro Police are the custodians of that, which include multidisciplinary task teams. The Metro Police, for example, do not have the competency in certain areas, like I already indicated, but as well second-hand goods, as well as liquor offices. So that is why they are also part, and Home Affairs are also part of that that operations, which take place throughout Gauteng. Then I can also indicate that the CCTV cameras, which is not in a working order around Marabas, let me say that, Desmond Tutu Home Affairs Centre, it's because of the tender has expired, and the CCTV has been removed from where they originally were situated in the Sunland Plaza Centre. Now they are situated in the Mercedes-Benz building, like the General was indicated. On the corner of Francis Bart and Princess Park. I'm pretty much not sure if that's the corner, but in the Mercedes-Benz building. And we are about to approve the other tender for the new service provider to fix that cameras. That cameras became default in the time that when we moved over from one building to another building, they were vandalized, but with the new tender that will be in place very soon, they will be fixed. And then I must also indicate, I didn't hear the General spoke about it, but police and the city are all in a process. The previous week, they went to, in actual fact, for the past 10 days, a group of the city's people were identified to attend a workshop in China, where we're going to go to the Smart City project, which will a centralized command center that will be established in all the different, can I say it, in Gauteng, in the different...
No, that's fine, ma'am. That's why I think you can add in as members are going to be asking questions. I was asking deliberately that this document, was the detail now that you are giving us, it's correct as you say that it comes from your head, right? Now it's something that becomes sometimes difficult to make a follow-up on when it's not in a document form, because we're able to pin it down and, you know, to engage with you. Because there may be a lot of things that are in your head now, and I'm trying to save you, so don't say much. For now, thank you very much. Let me allow members to ask questions and clarities. I'll start with the front today, and then I'll start with Tukala, Mamudambuza, followed by Mshabalala, Mama, and then followed by me. Okay, from the back. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm not calling in the numbers, but just note that point. And then we'll then come from and then until Honorable Hussein. So we can start, Mom Tambuza.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to welcome the presentation from all the departments as well as the stakeholders. Chair, let me first comment on the issue of the reports per se. I would like to raise an unhappiness about the reports that we are just receiving this morning. It's not a culture of this portfolio committee. We normally receive the documents at least 5 days, because that was an urgent meeting. I think 2 days or 3 days was going to be enough, because now we're not going to be able to engage fairly on the documents. But we'll try our best, Chair. But it must be recorded, and there should be an improvement in the future. Let me start by the last presenter. And the issue was also highlighted by the general, the issue of the cameras. For how long has these cameras not working? The other question will go to, I'll just ask questions, they will sort themselves. How are they going to respond to these questions? First and foremost, there is the issue of reporting of complaints by these refugees or asylum seekers. I want to check, do you have a system or mechanism that handles those complaints in a manner which would assist them, those asylum seekers and refugees, to report corruption safely and without fear? Do we have that mechanism? Because from the report that we have received, there's quite a lot of intimidation that is happening there. So it is important that you have that system, you develop a system. So because you are well vested already with those complaints. The other issue is around the interpreters, Chair. I don't understand how does it operate, the issue of interpretation, if the interpreters are in the headquarters and the service is at the office, the center. I don't understand how does it work, but I think we need to get an information about that one. And then the second issue on the interpreters, the issue of language. What common language is used? Because we have seen in the report that was alluded to by the chairperson, we have got a lot of people coming from different African countries. So I would like to know the issue of language that is being used there. Then in terms of partnership with the, because the this government promotes partnership with private sector, with civil society organizations, as well as public partnership. So I would like to know civil society organizations you are working with. So I think it goes to Home Affairs, that one, in making sure that you fight corruption. And then that question, I think, is we can link it. As this portfolio committee, we've got a report from the lawyers of human rights, lawyers, whatever, as well as the Corruption Watch. So I want to check, because there has been a commission or a study that has been conducted in 2015, more especially by the Lawyers for Human Rights with another institution. And then these issues were highlighted, more especially they were centered around the border crossing, as well as access to the refugee reception office, and then within now the office itself. Now I want to check what has been done by the department to investigate. Did you conduct your own investigation once you received those complaints, and then what were the outcomes of that? And then in terms of their recommendations, have you considered their recommendations to that effect, so that cooperation and then the working together is being maintained? The last question, Chair, for now, is around the hotline. Do you have the hotline system to report on this complaint? Is it working? If it is working, have you ever received any complaints through the hotlines? How many have they been solved? Because from the presentation, the presentation that has been put forward by the general, you only started this year. I mean, Uber active, you started this year, and the complaints have been raised 3 years back, but now you have been starting now. So it means for the past 2 years or the 2.5 years, there's nothing that was happening. The issue of register, do you have a register where you empower these people in terms of their rights? They should know their rights, what they should do, how they should report these issues of corruption that they are experiencing. For now, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I would like also to join my colleague in thanking the report that we have received from all stakeholders. I have a few questions, especially for the police, the operations that is happening in the area. First, I know that the work between the metro and the SEPs, the SEPs have the role to play, and also the metro has a role to play. On the issue of broken cameras, that is the function of the municipality. What you did indicate that the tender has been expired. What are the mechanism in monitoring when the tenders are going to be expired? Because 3 months before, you should have been advertised that tender for the new tender to be to fix those cameras. Is there any problem that you have in terms of the maintenance of the CCTV cameras in the area? Because to me that is a serious area. Because you have now 15 cases that you have reported in terms of the people who have been robbed, mugged, you can get that information only through the CCTV camera. And it means if the CCTV cameras are not working in that vicinity, the problem will not be solved. What is the reason the municipality has not been advertising that tender on time so that those cameras can be fixed, and what program or plans for the maintenance they have? On the issue from the SEPs, the issue of fines that are outstanding, do you have a mechanism in terms of the collection mechanism? How do you collect the debts? Because to me this is a lot of money that is outstanding that need to have been collected if it's up to fines from the 2nd of August up until the 20th of August. There are those monies that have been shown there that are being owed. How then are you collecting those monies? What steps do you take to make sure that people are paying what they is due to government? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much for the presentation given. However, I just want to put this thing in record, Minister and Deputy Minister. Last week, one of a family friend was coming from Botswana in Ramatlabama, a border. And one of the officials there at Ramatlabama held him hostage for an hour, demanding 10,000 rand. And he told me this Sunday, and I said that in this committee, we'll be having this kind of a meeting, and I'm going to report it, an official at the custom demanding 10,000 from this unemployed family member. I just read, and I just want that investigation must be done because he is willing to give. He can even point at the person. You know, on the face, you remember the person. However, I'm just saying to the chief of the traffic, is it the traffic officer? I was saying that, you know, the information that you were giving us, it was so important and of value. However, it's not in black and white. I was requesting, despite that you are working hand in glove with the police, but I think your work is complementary, but we really need that the report in writing. Yeah. And looking at the presentation given by the commander, you know, especially I can see that from the August, I think it's the last second page, a possession of drugs, where you gave the statistics on operational success. The possession of drugs, which nationality, what kind of those drugs were, so that we should be able to know, is it the South Africans who are in this possession of drugs? Because you go in the township, you go to these grey areas in South Africa. Our youth are so intoxicated heavily. So we really want to know who is really, you know, trafficking these drugs. If you can just give us that report. The customs assist on which goods? I think really, we really want to know. Then, because we are awaiting, you know, urgently for the border management authority in this area. It is where we found some challenges on the issues of revenue collection. Taxis empowered. Which taxis? Are they local taxis or are these ones going
to Limpopo through a big bridge, which taxes were impounded. Is it being driven by foreign nationals? How important is this impounded taxi for Home Affairs? So really, it doesn't really give any value or any, you know, you cannot really understand what is the rationale of this taxi impounded. Foreign nationals were the one who were driving this car, or what? But thank you very much for really coming to this. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to first acknowledge the presence of the Minister and the Deputy Minister. I really wish, Chairperson, if I could see their faces, you know, this wall of ours, this one. It's so terrible, I don't like it, because I don't get to see them, it's awful. And secondly, Chairperson, I would then like to thank members of this committee. It's the other way around, to thank members of this committee for sitting and actually listening to some of the information which may not make much sense to us. I would like to thank members for doing that, and for actually unraveling the mystery behind the reports which we are getting right now. May I start off with the Metro report, which was a verbal report. Please, Madam, I'm appealing to you that the next time you come to this committee, you get yourself all sorted out, and you prepare your staff well in advance, whether you work with the SAP and whatever. We are not going to be too unkind to a woman. You know, we're just past the August month. So we're going to pretend to be nice and kind. But believe me, we definitely are not impressed by what we got. And if I might just put it lightly, I think you spoke of a general, or Mr. Nkomo, General Nkomo there. I think it's the one, you are the person who spoke of that person. Please tell that Nkomo to also push up their socks, okay? We always do it in my surname. So please, tell that Nkomo to do the same. Secondly, I would like to go on to report Yangwena Papa. Because I heard your report. Your report was unusual. Very unusual in the sense that Leswi Ingaskuma from the Deputy Minister was completely different from what we got from you. Everything is fine. Things are okay. Nothing is a problem from your report. And yet things are just not okay. I think the Chairperson alluded to that earlier, when he spoke of some of the matters. May I then just address a few? For instance, you spoke of certain groupings of people that have come to Home Affairs, you know, more like a riot type of a situation, where you had people from East Africa. I think you mentioned another grouping as well. I've just forgotten which one. And they were there at Home Affairs and doing all they were doing. I've been asking myself a million times, why are we not getting any Chinese going there to do the same? And why are we not getting any Pakistanis? By the way, mina ngumachawela, so we've got a lot of spaza shops. I know what I'm talking about. When people are arrested in large quantities in our big cars, these big police cars, it's usually these East Africans and whatever. You don't get them a Chinese, you don't get other people. Why? Why is that? Because I would love at some other time, Chairperson, if we are invited to Home Affairs, even if it's Maravastat or wherever, and we find a whole kumbis full of Chinese
That would be good. That would be wonderful. It means that something is not right. Kona ababoshwayo, kona abangabosh. Kona abathintwayo, kona abangathintwa. And yet we are saying everything is fine. What is our intelligence doing? What are they saying? If we were to request an intelligence report on especially our undercover projects which are happening in those areas, fully fledged undercover projects, what would we get over all these areas? Because those people were there boycotting for a reason. They are the people who have to fork out so much of money. Then I would like to go on to, if we were to ask for a fully fledged report, remember we are talking to Parliament here, so nothing is a secret. Give it to us as is. Secondly, we spoke of those cameras. I'm disappointed to hear that, you know, the whole matter had to do with some tendering process. I ask myself, didn't people know that the tender was going to expire at a certain period so that they actually prepare timeously for the tender? And how much of harm has actually happened due to no cameras in that area? That's a report now coming from the SAPS, including the Metro Police. Because, you know, it's like, no, it's no big deal. Those cameras are broken. And I understand there's somebody working there. What's that person doing there if the cameras are not working? Get rid of that person, deploy them somewhere else until when those cameras are working, and then bring back the person. Then it means that if we don't do that, we're just paying this person for something which they're not doing. And lastly, we have used the name of Ubaba Desmond Tutu in that area. He is a person who is known worldwide, who has done so much of work. Imarabastat has got a history, we know about it. Thank God we are Gautengers. Siyazikahle. Asiyizwa bethi. Ayidiba. Ningafamba naloko mahlo a mina pariwile. Ni Imarabastat, nisuka la. Nifika kona, Imarabastat. Nakutiba. A lot of things are happening there. Why are you not telling us so that we can come up with a plan that will assist us to address that place? Yes, Imarabastat. Because if we keep getting all these conflicting reports, it means that we will never be able to get to the crux of the matter. Thank you, Chair.
Mamu Kenya.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to everyone. Chairperson, since we are a full complement today, I'll simply stick to my few questions and leave others for members. Chair, to the Department of Home Affairs, I just want to check from them. How far have they gone? Or how far has the center progressed in interacting or in integrating its records with the applications at other offices and with the SAPS automated fingerprint verification system? If maybe they can give me a clarity regarding that and the progress report. Chair, my other question. There is an increase in South Asian applicators. What are their primary reason given for seeking asylum here in South Africa? Because if you can check, they are from far away. So are there any safe places around there? Why are they coming here? Why are they targeting South Africa? What is their primary reason for coming here? Then, Chair, with the reduction in new applications each year, how long is it envisaged before the refugee appeals board backlog of around 48,000 will be finalized? Maybe if I can get an explanation around that. And Chairperson, my last one, I think the issue of these cameras that are not working does not sit well with most of us here, because we don't understand how can such an important tool being broken and not being repaired. There are a number of serious crimes and challenges around there, and the cameras are not working. What is your maintenance routine? So, because we really don't understand how can cameras not working in such a place. We know we've got a very serious problem around it. I don't think there is any excuse that you can give around that. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Mompi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. But I have a concern that the presentation from Home Affairs is mostly scanty. At least the flesh is not there. Really, it is amazing because Home Affairs used to have a clear representation. This piece of paper now, it doesn't impress me at all. Of 2 pages. I don't even say it's 5-6 pages because most of the pages are half. They are not full pages. So, really, I'm concerned about that. Also, I'm also concerned about the verbatim report. I think we must get a report, even now, as much as Mamko was saying that later on. But I think even in this one, we must get it written down so that our sector can distribute it to us, please, Metropolis. Firstly, on page 5 on the report of Home Affairs, at the last bullet, talks to reduction in the abuse of asylum seekers. I'm worried because now I don't see what has been done so far to actually to investigate these allegations of exploitation of the asylum seekers. It is not quite clear to me what does reduction means, mechanisms of reduction. Also on space 5, there is a task team of 2015. I don't know whether this task team is always there or is changed for year by year, because now it's 2018 and we say that we've got extensive problems in these refugee camps, these refugee offices. But my question is that, is this task team really doing its job? And secondly, I understand that this task team comprises of many stakeholders, but you wonder when you hear that the Metropolis are saying, no, Tina, I've not been told, we're not part of that. What is that? Does that mean? It's not clear to me. What does that mean? Also, on the issue of the police substance, SAS is talking about the Operation William Teto, integrated operations with Home Affairs in combat activities around the mother state. Do you think there is improvement in that case? Because I see no improvement, as much as there are still many challenges which we have been told there at Maraba State. But there is this integrated operation. It is vague to me if the operations are integrated. Why is there that sometimes the SARS say, we don't hear this one, we don't get these reports, but they are part of the task team. And I'm worried about the police presentation because it's not numbered. But I think the page that talks to the security measures, we're talking about the broken cameras, but down there on the last bullet, I think, CCTV cameras are monitored jointly by members of SARS and Metropolis are monitored. are monitored, but they are not working at the same time, but they are monitored. Mm-hmm. I don't know, what does that mean? How can you monitor? Yeah, how can you monitor? Monitor something that is broken, you just monitor it. So maybe the English is not right for me. The one who talks that CCTV cameras are monitored, that was our security measures. Really, it's vague to me. What does that mean? Also, this same page has got many gray areas to me. Intensification of crime prevention activities, intelligence-driven crime prevention combating operations. We are saying that there are challenges, but they are still continuing there. But still, we just mentioned the names, but we don't know the how part of this. So I'm really amazed by these things. Really, I don't understand. Also, to check, I also can check even the number of that task team. Is it enough? Is the task team enough to do the job now that the challenges are still continuing? Is that a continuation? I don't know. Maybe there's something that is to be done, maybe to add more staff. I don't know. If we say that we still have the challenges, but we have that task team that we think it has been there since for 3 years, but there's still no improvement so far. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't know why everyone is pronouncing my surname wrong. Figlen. That's better. Chairperson, thank you very much. I'm just concerned when you intimidate the officials, when you take off your glasses and your eyes, then I'll get scared also. thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to say thank you very much in the good improvement that has been done in Marapa Star Desmond Tutu Center, but there was a reason maybe behind it for service, safety, and all those things. But being considered all those things, I think Marapa Star is 3 years now that has been developed, but we're still having the same issues. Now, I was hoping that when you come to report about Marapa Star, you'll give a solution what you're going to do tomorrow. But nothing is done. It's always say, we are meeting. Now it shows that the government doesn't work together, all these departments. I just want to make one example. The example about Stagspruit, we went into oversight in Stagspruit. Labor Department have told Home Affairs those offices are debilitated. They can't be used by human beings. The outcry came from the voters. Then that is when we go and listen to the people. But where is Home Affairs? Why must we wait until the contract is finished before we can renew it? So those are the questions I wanted to ask. But I want to say congratulations, Minister and Deputy Minister, for that structure in Desmond Tutu. I've been there by myself. Unfortunately, I was not part of the oversight this time. But I think all these departments like Public Works, Labor, and Home Affairs, with the police, we must work together in order to keep our people safe. Now, with this report, I'm not going to say anything, but I feel this is just a cut and paste, and we are dealing with Marapa Star on a journey to safer Desmond Tutu Center, not South Africa, but it's fine. Chairperson, I just want to go to page 4 of the presentation from Home Affairs. Page 3. They put addresses of suspects identified. What is being done about those suspects? Did we do follow-up? If those suspects were identified, which nationalities are they? On page 4, we're talking about booking systems. Now, if you do bookings in the department, I don't think there will be long queues, because people are coming there Monday, you take 50 people, they know before they can come and do application that they have to come and make a booking. Now, you find there's a queue management system. Why are we still having those queues? Improve security and surveillance. Now we hear that there is no cameras. But what I want to find out, why there is a demarcation. If I improve my home,
I improve it for security and for my children to be safe. But there will be extra or plan B that I'll be doing. I'll have a street committee patrolling the street. Now, what other plans do you have as a department in order to secure and stop this corruption and all those things? Thank you very much, sir.
Chair, thank you very much. I'm not sure how you feel or the rest of my colleagues in the committee feel, but I must say that I don't get a sense, having listened to all the responses or the reports from the political leadership to the senior officials in any of the departments, I don't get a sense of hope or confidence that after the portfolio committee went to do that visit, that after all of these reports and studies done by lawyers for human rights and Corruption Watch, I don't get the sense that, or even any sense of hope or confidence that we're getting this whole problem under control. I'm not sure how my other colleagues feel, but that's my feeling. I mean, the gentleman from SAPS made it very clear when he says it's a well-known fact that bribery and corruption is a problem there at Marabasad. Home Affairs officials will tell you that. The public will tell you that. It's already out there. It's been there since 2015. The studies tell you that. But not one of the presentations today here told us how many people are sitting in jail today because of bribery and corruption. Nobody said anything about it. So the problem continues. We have all of these senior officials. We get all of these lengthy reports from different departments, from Home Affairs, from SAPS, from the Metro Police Department, who actually told us nothing here today. I mean, if that is the representation of the Metro Police in Pretoria, it's an embarrassment, really, that you can't even keep your cameras working. So I don't know, Chair. I feel a sense of hopelessness. If anybody is listening to this presentations of all of those people today who presented here, I don't blame them for losing hope and confidence in the Home Affairs Department. Because from 2015, these things have been known. The police have been having meetings with the Home Affairs officials, and the report from the police tells us about how many things that they've done from 2018. My colleague in front of me addressed it. There's nothing to say that they acted from 2015. But I see they're finding cockroach medicine. I mean, you're not finding the crooks. You're not catching the people who are giving Home Affairs the reputation that we have. But you're finding cockroach medicine. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. There's not, in this, I'm looking for this report from the police chair. There's not one case here that says we have caught X number of people for bribery and corruption. I see there's one lady for fraud or something, but you have all of these reports. It's known from years there's bribery and corruption in Marabastat. And you know, I can't blame it too much on Home Affairs. But they must also take responsibility for it, because we've got a counter-corruption unit there in Home Affairs. So it's part of their responsibility too. But the large responsibility rests on the shoulders of the police. And with all of these resources, with the millions of rands that we spend, we're still not able to reduce the bribery and corruption at Marabastat or any of the refugee centers. I don't know, and maybe either the political leadership wants to respond to that, but I don't walk away from this committee meeting today, Chair, and I appreciate the level of interest that you have shown in the leadership in trying to prioritize this matter, but I'm not getting a sense that we got this thing under control unless something new is going to be said in responses to the questions and comments from members. On that basis, Chair, I have just one or two questions to raise for clarity. This thing about the cameras there in Pretoria, can I just ask the lady to perhaps tell us how long is this thing working, has not been working, And when is it going to be fixed? Just give us a date. Because clearly you the Metro Police, they don't take this thing seriously, the problem that we have there. I don't get that sense from you. So perhaps you can maybe just give us a very straight answer. When do you think this thing will be fixed? Chair, I want to ask the gentleman from SAPS, is that from this report of Home Affairs, I get the impression that there was, what is this, after the IMC meeting in 2015, there was a joint task team set up. I gather that task team was set up in 2015. Do you have any stats or any information about what is it what contribution that SAPS had made since 2015 to reducing bribery and corruption on the outside of the Maraba Stud office? Is there anything that you can tell us, apart from the ones that have been done this year that you've presented? Then in the same report you say that there is the station commanders meet with the DHA on a regular basis. Regular can also be, once a year. How often task team still in place? And is there still a collaboration between Home Affairs and SAPS how often does that happen? Because even if it is happening regularly, you still haven't fixed the problem, and maybe you can maybe give us some sense of hope before you leave here today of what SAPS is going to do going forward to try and get rid of bribery and corruption and all the mugging and everything else that's going on there at Maraba Stud. Just the last point, Chair. Those two arrests that were made, you said both of them went to court and they were found not guilty. Did I hear correctly? So those two people are back there again. And they're operating. Chair, sorry. There was this list of cases that was reported in the SAPS. This one. I don't know, there's no page numbers here. This one. Can I just ask you, how many of these people have been arrested here? Or these are just cases that have been reported? You haven't told us how many of them are arrested and how many of them are sitting in jail. These are just offences and the case number. Because I know that sometimes common robbery is like not a big thing for you. You just worry about the other things. Thank you, Chair.
Now, let us not lose sight, colleagues, of the objective of this meeting. And the point that I've made when I was opening this meeting was more about a presentation that we have received, which is a document from the Department of Home Affairs that speaks of all these challenges. And I've tried to read some of them, but at the end I'll have to read them again as we deal with the way forward. Let me allow you to respond to the some of the issues are general issues that are outside the area of our target today. Our area of target is more about the security issues. So the department will be able to navigate around that particular area. But let us zoom into the issue. And the issue is criminal activities that are happening in and outside Maraba Stud. And I've raised the issue of syndicates, of human trafficking and smugglers targeting refugee office. Metro Police and police involved in these activities. CPF, policing forum, community forum involved in this issue, so-called agent and smugglers. Criminal elements, robbery, pickpocketing, and all of that. These are issues that I thought, as we engage, we'll be able to reflect and talk about these issues. And I'm missing that point. I'm missing it. I don't hear it coming out. The department generally speaks of the issues that they are doing and they have done. There's no coordination. I don't hear anyone say that. I hear that the police are saying that we are coordinated, but you don't hear it. It's not coming out. The department says that nationally we have set up this national team that we have put in place. It's in operation, it's no longer in operation, it does not say it. right? So this exercise must help us. It must help us that at the end of this meeting here, we must be able to say, these are the weaknesses that we have identified on issues of coordination, right? Because it's clear that there is no coordination. Both the department, the metro, and the police, including intelligence and others, as part of the team that the DG of Home Affairs spoke about. Let's hear about that particular area and what is going to be the way forward, moving forward, having now identified that we have this problem that we have identified. Now, the police, as I was trying to dig deeper into the status of the report, unless you have not seen these challenges that we're talking about from the police, both metro and the police, unless you have not seen them. If you have not seen them, then say so that, you know, it's not an allegation that is made by the chairperson of the committee, as you put it, that the chair says the chair called the minister. I'm not calling you. Here's a report that tells you that there are problems there. And here are the problems, right? Now, and this denial of facts, there's no proof, there's no one who has ever reported, right? No one has ever reported, therefore, nothing has happened, right? I'll come to that point. So I want us to, I'm not forcing you to talk about these issues. We'll tell you what you must do at the end of this meeting, what must happen. But I thought that sometimes you have an element of wanting to own up to the challenges. State them. These are the challenges that we know. I'm not sure any of you have been to Maraba State office. Maybe let me start with you, Commander. Have you been to the Maraba State office? How often do you go there? Both yourself, Malan, yes. How often do you go to Maraba State office? You pass there. Have you been inside that office? Not inside, that's fine. That's fine, now I understand. Do you know who runs that office?
I'm speaking to Mrs. Barber on a regular basis. I'm
speaking to the person, Mr. Ndlovu. Oh, you're speaking to Ndlovu on regular basis, out of your head again. That's fine. That's fine, out of your head. I understand. How often do you go to that office, Cluster Commander? Because that will be your key area of operation. How often do you go there? How often do you go there? Does your pocketbook record that? Can I have the copy of your pocketbook that confirms that you go to that office?
Chairperson, the area of operation is East Maraba State and also the other surrounding.
I'm saying that you are going there twice a week. Your pocketbook, does it record that you go to that office twice a week? And I want the copy of that pocketbook.
I'm carrying a diary.
Where is that diary? The police, what do the police do when they record or any activities that they attend to?
Non-commissioned members, they record
them. Home Affairs, do you have a record of a area commander coming there twice a week? The area, what's called the owner of the office now, the person in charge. Do you have the record of him going there twice a week? Exactly. That, you know, I have an approach, a very sober oversight that I can do. We can go robust oversight if we want to do that. So don't come to Parliament and lie to Parliament. My problem is that you come to Parliament, you lie to Parliament, and Parliament must accept, based on the reports that you are giving us here, which are empty, and expect these members of Parliament to crack their heads, try and find what you are trying to say. You just lie in front of Parliament here. In front of Parliament, in front of the Minister, the Deputy Minister, you lie that you are going to that office twice a week. Now, these members of Parliament were exposed to these lies. Our people there and these innocent asylum seekers get harassed, get mugged, get arrested as they present themselves before the Home Affairs Office. And it's normal, it's okay with you. We don't know as long as it's not reported to us. Now, Minister, I'm not even going to request that we do a lot of responses. I'm going to allow you to speak, Minister. After the Minister has spoken, we're going to agree on the way forward. I don't want to charge you, the commander, area commander. I don't want to charge you for lying in parliament. I don't want to do that exercise. You see, I don't want to do it. I really don't want to do it. You know, because we need to find a way in which all of us can work together to assist the problem. This problem, in fact, impacts so bad to the country and internationally. We are viewed as a country that is anti-refugees, anti-asylum seekers. We are harassing, we are killing them, we are looting their shops, we're doing all of these things. It starts from that mentality of wanting to lie and not wanting to take ownership. Right. So I asked you a question earlier. I said, does your minister know about this report that you are presenting? Does the police commissioner know about this thing? He said, yes, he knows, the minister knows about this empty report that you are presenting to parliament today. Empty report. It's not saying anything, this report. So I'm going to allow the minister to talk to us. And I know, with respect, obvious, that the DM, the deputy minister, is her responsibility, but she has been engaging. I think she has shared with us the light of the issues as she understands them and all of that. What we'll then do is to ask the minister to talk to us. The only senior executive who's with us today here is the Minister of Home Affairs. Talk to us, then we'll deal with the way forward of what must happen moving forward. Rather than, don't even bother, the rest of you have noted questions, don't even bother to respond to those questions. We just have to deal with the way forward. And then at some point, we'll then find some solution. Minister, with respect, I'll afford you an opportunity to talk to us.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, honorable members, for a robust engagement and for the concern you have. First, for the welfare of the asylum seekers and refugees in our country, in line with the commitments that South Africa has made in terms of the Geneva Conventions to which we have committed ourselves. In a few weeks, the Deputy Minister will be leading the South African delegation to the UNHCR Executive Committee, where she will present South Africa's statement and participate in the annual EXCO, highlighting some of the progress and challenges we have made in this regard. I think at that moment she will highlight a number of things. One of those is the progress we have made to improve the process of asylum seeker management. I think in due course we should request to present to the committee the asylum seeker statistics, which highlight the progress that we have been making over the years. How, as a result of the interface of our various immigration policies, international migration policies, the management of the asylum seeker processes and systems has been improving and becoming more efficient, impacting positively on asylum seekers and refugees, enabling the adjudication systems to proceed better, faster, more smoothly, enabling us to resolve niggling challenges which had tended in the past to create a number of problems, but also ensuring that we can, as quickly as possible, determine the status of applicants. But we will also highlight in that regard the trends as we see them and our own analysis as to those trends. and what we think are the patterns that are emerging. And when the Deputy Minister engages with the UNHCR, she will highlight some of those and raise some of the issues we had raised with the UNHCR, where we had requested the UNHCR to assist us so that we can resolve some problems and challenges which we experience. Colleagues, members will remember that when we presented the International Migration White Paper, we had raised as prominent the issue of whole of society, whole of government approach in the management of international migration, and the same applies to asylum seeker management, emphasizing the need for us to collaborate in managing international migration in the best interests of the country, both to advance South Africa's economic interests and to mitigate the risks. And in so doing, we hoped both to manage it in the country's best interests, but also to work together when there are challenges. And I think it's in that light, in that positive light, that we welcome the engagement today. It's also in that light that we have welcomed some of the investigations and reports that have emerged from some of the civil society organizations, some of which we engaged with as early as 2015. And discussed with some of the organizations concerned. We disagreed with them on some of the approaches they may have proposed without rejecting the issues they had raised. We committed that we were going to investigate those issues. Because as we said back in 2015, and repeated throughout the years, and repeated again this morning when the Deputy Minister made our opening statement, we hold the name of Archbishop Emeritus in high esteem, and we would not want it to be associated with bad conduct. And so whenever there are reports of misconduct being raised at any of our centers, especially at the DTRCC, RRC, we investigate those and treat them as urgent. But I think, as the Honorable Figlan said, the issue of the Desmond Tutu Refugee Reception Center, the center itself, in terms of its operation, has improved. Now, honorable members will remember that, constitutionally speaking, and in terms of the law, there is that which we as Home Affairs can do and that which we cannot do. Constitutionally speaking, anything happening outside our perimeters is the responsibility of the law enforcement agencies. Because even with the best of intentions on our part, our immigration officers are not law enforcement agencies, are not commissioned officers, do not carry guns, and cannot confront armed criminals. And so we cannot undertake that responsibility and thus place our employees at risk. But what I think, and which we welcome, what I think the committee is raising very sharply is the responsibility on our part, because we can't say as Home Affairs that now that somebody has applied for asylum and received their refugee status, from that moment onwards, we wash our hands off them completely. We remain responsible to an extent to facilitate the meeting of their rights and their compliance with their own responsibilities. And that's why we continue to engage with various organizations and other stakeholders in government to ensure that their rights and responsibilities can be fulfilled. And so the issue that is arising sharply and that we were trying to highlight as a weakness in our own statement and that we will take forward is the issue of coordination between the different agencies that are responsible in this regard. I must say we have raised the issue of, it's not just about Operation Fiela, because there is that part of Operation Fiela which deals with law enforcement where and when law is being broken. But there is that part of the coordination which relates to the clear or alleged abuse of the rights of asylum seekers as they seek access to our services at our centers. And so we are going to raise this at executive level with the security cluster, with both the ministers of defense and police, who are the co-conveners of the security cluster, so that there could be a net joint approach to resolving these challenges. I think there is an extent to which we need to have a complete investigation of the issues taking place. I think what members must not, you know, members must not say we're losing hope. The center is operating and operating well. To that extent, the Desmond Tutu Refugee Reception Center is operating well. Well organized, well structured, this process flow is good. Officials are well trained, they are well monitored. If any of the officials commits a wrong, they are immediately disciplined. It's well led. The management is properly trained. So the center is operating well. The bulk of the problem which sits before the committee emanates from outside the perimeter. And that is the nub of the problem, and that's where the intervention is required. And so we are going to pay attention to this. We have been trying to do that. We can only do so much as Home Affairs, but we will continue trying to do it. As I say, I will raise this matter again. We will meet with the different agencies. We had a meeting, Mavuso, with the UNHCR. Oh, yeah, he's behind me. With the UNHCR about 2 weeks ago. Where
the South African Human Rights Commission.
Sorry. With the South African Human Rights Commission, where they outlined a number of issues that they wanted to bring to our attention. It was the second meeting with them during the course of this year. Very detailed meeting, looking at a number of very detailed and operational issues. We will meet with the other stakeholders. The Deputy Minister had met the lawyers for human rights. I myself had had conversations with the report released in 2015. What was that report again? Can't remember. But I had interacted with the organization which had released that report. So we have been meeting the different stakeholders, but Chairperson, we commit that we are going to take up the issues raised in those reports to understand them. But, you know, it also cannot be said that, you know, we will be agreeable with everything being said. You see, for example, when somebody says in their report, we allege that there is bribery taking place and recommend that charge the person who is being bribed and not the one who is bribing. Now surely we can't agree to that. It's a wrong proposition. We can't agree to that. And so when we disagree with it, it can't be said that we are disagreeing, we are rejecting the entire report. We are just disagreeing with that particular aspect and are saying we will investigate the whole thing, and to the extent that we find that there is indeed such malfeasance taking place, we will take action against both, whether one of the persons involved is a refugee or not. The fact of you being a refugee doesn't give you the right to come and bribe our officials. So if somebody says to us, don't charge a refugee for bribery, you are making a wrong recommendation, and certainly you are making it to a wrong person. So from where we stand, all of these reports do receive our attention. The counter-corruption unit is doing its work, but the counter-corruption unit, Honorable Chairperson, cannot go and investigate crime taking place on the street outside the perimeter of Home Affairs. It is not the South African police. It's a counter-corruption unit of Home Affairs. Its mandate is limited. Its capacity is limited. But we will accept any further mandates that will be and directives that will be provided by the committee, and we welcome the opportunity which has been provided to us. Thank you very much.
Okay, no, that's fine. Now what we should do is that there are a number of questions that the members have asked, and those questions are not going to be responded now. I'm going to request that those questions must be responded in the meeting of the Portfolio Committee of the 9th of October, when we deal with the issue of the BRRR. All those questions will be responded to. Now, the way forward that we are proposing, colleagues, is that it's clear that there is no coordination, and the Minister confirms that part. We're now going to request that there must be coordination. One is that the team that has been established by the department, which was involved from the beginning, must be ignited, that team, with immediate effect. And I'll take it that team include all stakeholders, both at national, provincial, and at local level. That team must be ignited. I'm going to propose again, colleagues, that the police, both police and metro, must immediately request help from Human Rights Commission for training of police officers who are in operation in that particular area. Meaning that the local police stations in that area need to be educated about issues of asylum seekers. In fact, jointly with Home Affairs, meaning that Home Affairs is more conversant on issues of migration, together with Human Rights Commission must help. I think we need to write a letter that requests the intervention of the Human Rights Commission to assist the affected area, which is as described by the cluster commander in that particular area of work. Every officer must be trained on issues of asylum seekers and immigration. Every officer must be trained on the issues of immigration laws and asylum seekers related matters. Who operates in that particular area? Because it does not make sense that we have a center which is a national center and the police station around that area do not even have a clue of that, what is the role and the function of that center. They only see these people as targets that they can go and search and rob and take their belongings. This is what the police do, right? So we're saying that must change. Those police studying with the cluster commander in front of us must be educated around the issues of migration. And that report must be given to the committee of the plans or the training that has happened by the 9th of October. And that includes your Metro Police, because they have a permanent roadblock right at the entrance of that refugee center there. And they don't have a clue about the issues of migration. The only thing they do is to stop, check if you have papers. If you don't, they arrest you. If you don't, they want money from you. This is what is happening there. And they expect this poor refugee asylum seeker who came running from wherever he came from to go to the police station and said, I'm robbed. When you're going to be, he's going to be arrested by the very same police again there. So this is what must happen, therefore. That training is very important, Minister, so that these officers are properly trained. We are requesting that both stakeholders must go to Home Affairs, that refugee center. Metro Police, you have not been there, you always pass there. You see this building with a lot of people inside. We are now saying that the meeting must take place in that center, and you must be taken through the operations of that center, both yourself and the cluster commander. Rather than telling us, have to tell the commander, go there, go to that office, and make it that you go there twice a week, as we have just said, lying to the committee. Now, do it now. Twice a week and give us a report. Keep the report, the office that is responsible, the officer responsible for that office, keep the report of his attendance in that office. And we must get a report of him going to that office twice a week now. And what do you do when you go there twice a week? When you go there twice a week, now that you're going to go there, you're not been going there. Now you're going to be going there twice a week. You're going to be dealing with these issues on a daily basis. You're going to monitor how we're dealing with issues of police syndicates, syndicates of human trafficking. These are discussions that we're going to have there. And that big meeting is going to deal with that. The involvement of the police in harassing, arresting, taking bribes will be dealt with in that meeting. Same with the Metro Police. The issue of CPF. CPF is supposed to be the most critical body that helps, in fact, coordination and monitor these bribes. And they are the ones, in fact, who are involved in this corruption too. They must be involved in that meeting. Now, you have so-called agents and criminals that are operating in that area there. Those agents and those criminals must be arrested and want to get the report because they identified, they are known that these are the people. They must be arrested. Now, there are serious international issues, Minister, that will have to be looked at. Multinational criminal syndicates still operate with impunity in that area there. This is what the report of Home Affairs says, not Chauke. It's not the chairman of the committee. Security check, including the Interpol wanted person, currently not being done. It's not being done. You're not checking of people that are wanted by Interpol and all of that, and they come into that center, they get whatever refugee status and all of that, and then they move away. It's normal. And the issue of usage of the resources of the state. Gangs that are operating
in hijacking, peddling and trafficking, and prostitution and car hijacking. These are things that the Department of Home Affairs has identified. We want to get a report of all these issues, what is it that we're going to do, and the plan. Of this is a plan now, this is what we're going to do. These operations are going to be informed by the following issues as we have identified them. Each one of these items that is identified here, we must get a plan on it. What are we going to do with issues of corruption by police? What are we going to do about the trafficking in that area there? All of these issues that are there, they're in the document. So go, you're going to meet, you're going to ignore those task team of us. Make sure that they work, there's a plan, there's a program, and you're going to report to Parliament. If that does not happen, Comrade Don, what is going to happen is that people are going to be scared to go to that office. Your asylum seekers prefer not to go to that office and go and get some illegal document somewhere. Because if they present themselves at Home Affairs, they're going to be arrested. Not at Home Affairs, by those who are outside that office there. Those cameras that you claim that you have cameras that you are monitoring, please monitor working cameras. Metro, make sure that within 30 days you have cameras that are working there. How do you monitor a camera that is not working? And they were monitoring this camera. I saw the Home Affairs cameras. We went inside. We saw the system that Home Affairs has put in place of cameras that are working. They are able to monitor each and every person of the service that is providing inside that Home Affairs office. Outside Metro, you are not able to do that. Just to put the camera and monitor that camera. So that tender that you have been talking about, unless someone is still working on it to get a bribe before that camera is installed there, we want to see cameras working there. So we're going to expect a written report with a clear plan of how you're going to be dealing with these issues. And that plan, when it comes to the portfolio committee, must be signed by the Minister of Police. Meaning that both Minister of Home Affairs, the Minister of Police, and the head of Metro, I'm not sure the hierarchy, who's in charge there, is that the MMC, who's in charge there of Metro? Politically, who's in charge? MMC or the mayor? That MMC Kushundu must make sure that he signs off, his signature must be in that plan. Because we want to see you working. We want to see you creating an environment that is conducive for asylum seekers to go there freely without fear, without intimidation. This is what we want to see. Familiarize yourself with that office. Get to know what services are in that office. Get to know what are the people there. There is the head of the office there. She's there, the head of the office there. Get to meet her, we leave today here. Arrange to go and have coffee with her there in that office so that she takes you through the operations of that office. But in principle, we're agreeing that this is what we want to see happening. Now I think that's where we close it. Now let me address you, Cluster Commander. Please, I'm just putting this on record. It must never happen again. It must never, ever happen again in this parliament, in this portfolio committee, that someone can stand and say untrue things. I don't want to say that you lied, in fact, in parliament. It must never happen again. It must never happen. Because it's an offense if you do that. You need to look at the Constitution. Go and read it, understand it. Powers and privileges of the committee, the rules and the operations of how the portfolio committees of Parliament operate. Maybe it's for the first time you appear before Parliament. But you need to know these things. But you don't come to Parliament and lie. Says Honourable. I thought that was. This is a very serious offense, by the way, to be very honest with you. It must never happen again. It must never happen. You know. So on that note, therefore, colleagues, let's agree that that we'll then have to receive this report on the 9th as we deal with the bid required, with all the questions responded to. I want to take this opportunity
to thank you, Minister, to thank you, DM, for the wonderful work. And I will take it that in the next round, when we engage, the leadership of the police will take serious of these issues that we are dealing with. We understand today that because of the fact that the minister is dealing with the steps, is not here, the deputy minister has taken leave, but next time we'll definitely want a situation where they come and deal with these issues, because this problem, you may find that they're happening in East London, they're happening in Cape Town, in every areas where we have this refugee center, you may find that there's a common problem. So the sooner we resolve Marabastad, the better we find a solution to the rest of the refugee centers in the country. On that note, thank you very much. Members must just remain for a few minutes just to do the housekeeping with regard to tomorrow's meeting, and then you are released, Minister, in the delegation, and thank you very much. Team, in time, we can have a cup, and then we can settle just for 10 minutes, then we're done.
Yes, or you are talking to computer.
Just call them to come inside, please. Like it.
Yeah, that is good. They're not shooter, okay? That's fine. Yes, Adam says that is good. Okay, Dennis Kete. Dennis Kete is the minister in 1993 of Home Affairs. The reason that we are putting this name, you remember we said let us go back and look at the first entry of the Guptas. So they then start to appear, they come to the country in 1993. Before the democratic government, you now have the Guptas coming into the country. We'll deal with that detail as we move forward. That's the only change that we have made, right? That's the only, it's addition and the heading, Japan. That's all, right? Then we then have the, am I still following the same file?
You can use this one. Yeah.
Is this still the same here?
No, everything else is the same.
Okay, is that the response of the response to the committee and questions issued on the concern regarding the naturalization of the Gupta family. You remember, therefore, that in the report we have listed the number of questions. And these questions, we have now sent them to the department to respond to those questions, right? And there has been in and out of information that was coming, going, coming. We now, in the report, then put those questions. And then this is the response that we now receive from the department. Okay? Now, you can go back to the first set of questions. The first set of questions, you'll see that you now have the rest of the questions that are identified there. At the bottom last page, questions on the department responses. You will see that on the last page that we have on the page 2, page 4, the last page, yeah? If you one is 1, 2, 3, 4. On the last, what's called, we have a paragraph that deals with a set of questions. These additional questions are questions that are informed by the response of the department. Okay? And here we have a report that has questions, and we have standard questions that we had before. Now, the department then responded, and these are the questions that we are now putting on top of the response. These are going to be the key questions when we deal with the department, to be precise. Right? These are going to be the key questions emanating from the response of the department. Because if you look at the rest of the questions, they start with ALTA, they start with the Northwest MEC, Richard Skakani, it then goes to Major Kubisa, Cornelius, Christian, Kuseli Aplane, right? You can see them, the rest of the, majority of the questions are for Aplane, and then we then have Minister Malusi Gigaba, which will then lead to the next set of questions that are now in response to the document that we have submitted to them, right? So we now have that, colleagues. Then we have this, Adam. This affidavit, guide me here.
This is from ALTA.
Oh, this is an affidavit from ALTA, ne? It's a long affidavit. It's a long affidavit with a lot of this information that we have, which they're going to be talking to us tomorrow about these issues that they have, right? And then we then have the Immigration and the Citizenship Act, right? Specifically, we're dealing with areas that we have identified as key areas with regard to the law.
And also the Alien Control Act.
We even put the Alien Control Act. The Alien Control Act
is
relevant before 1994, we are moving forward with the rest of the documents, right? Of the new legislation that comes in.
Yeah.
Now we have citizenship and the immigration law.
Those are the extracts,
right? It's not the whole what's gone, right? Then we then move to investment. Is it investments?
Yes.
Investments and sponsorship. Huh?
Okay, related to schools, as I'm informed, this TIC document that you'll find here, you'll recall that this is informed by nothing else but during the application, because when they deal with the application, they then make side of the not only investment donations, right? Donations that they give to schools and all of that, right? Corporate social investment. That's what is in the file now. Then we now have a report of the granting of, which one is this one now?
DHA.
Huh?
The initial DHA report.
Oh, these are the initial documents. Can you talk on this one quickly, Abraham? Annexures, I think it's annexures.
Yeah, so
just talk on it.
Okay.
He's got many names in his head now.
Okay.
This is the initial response provided by the DHA last year in July, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. So yes. This is under it's a yellow folder heading.
Yellow folder.
Department. Department report. And yeah, so this was it.
You got it, members? The yellow, not orange, yellow.
There's more than one yellow one, but maybe one.
Department report, ne?
Are you talking the right yellow or the orange?
Okay, Mama, yellow.
Yeah, department report, it says.
Department report.
Label number. Yeah.
This one, yeah. Label department report.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that one includes all the application forms and the dates and the line officials and supporting documents that were provided with the initial naturalization application.
Okay. And then we move to, is it red or yellow? Sundaran affidavit. This is an affidavit that he has deposited. Sundaran is a guy who was employed by NN7. You have his affidavit there. And then you then have, what is this last one? Oh, okay. These are leak emails. After Sundaran, then you have the leak emails. Who's going to speak with the authority on the leak emails? Not Alta.
Yeah.
Alta, why are they here? Because they're supposed to have been
they were in public domain. They overlap with the Alta.
Okay, they overlap. So we'll read the emails together when we deal with Alta, the first presenter tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They
give a good overview of the emails.
Okay. And then the last one, it will be tabling of the names of persons granted alien naturalization. Talk to this one quickly, Adam.
So they were required to do annual tablings in Parliament of their and of those naturalised in the given year, but they skipped a couple of years, and this is the them tabling them in retrospectively for a number of years from 2013 to 2016. And there's a note of this notable increase. I think you can just see there between 2013, 2014, hardly any, and then suddenly.
Okay.
And then 2015, there were none, and then 2016, there's suddenly 15.
And then, can we list? We then have all the Guptas there.
There, and there. Yeah.
Okay. Now, colleagues, we have written to the Indian embassy, requesting them to confirm the renunciation of the citizenship of the Guptas. How far are we?
We have written to the Indian embassy.
Yeah.
No, I'm just want to say the date. I want to indicate the date.
What is the response?
No, there's no response. Yeah.
Now, colleagues, what we're dealing with is quite a very serious matter. That you see, we're engaging on the basis that these individuals have been given South African citizenship now, and they've renounced their Indian citizenship. In the presentation of the department, do we have anything that confirms renunciation?
in all the submissions? How far does it go? For how many people does it deal with? It deals with who is who and who? You see? Where? You see? Where? Department report. Let's go to the department report on yellow. Is it yellow, ne?
Yeah.
Which? It's under yellow or it's in the...
Yeah, there's a couple of different there's those and then there's annexure L as well.
Where are you now? Are you here?
Okay, yeah, so last page. Last page is one of them.
The last page, the Indian High Commissioner in Pretoria presents its compliment to the Department of International Relations. The High Commissioner in India is further honored to convey that the four persons, the four person mentioned in the note, in the note verbal, dated 23 June,
yeah,
have renounced their citizenship. And who are these people? Just name them. Just give them where they.
On the other side, sorry, yeah, there's the DHA.
Now you only have Soria Gandhi. Which one is this one? Is this the? It's two sons, eh? Sons and who else?
The wife and the wife.
Now these are the last ones, right? But the previous ones we don't have. The point that we are making here is that we wanted, I need to agree that we'll then do the three families. So if you do the three families, it means that you need to get the same with, because they were citizens of India. And now they've renounced their citizenship. You need expect the High Commissioner to do the same.
The legislation that relates to that was in terms of the Alien Control Act, which didn't require the renunciation of your citizenship prior to 1998 when the new Immigration Act came in, so the same requirements weren't there. So they didn't have to renounce their Indian nationality, and the new act doesn't apply retrospectively.
No. Wait first. Who does not want dual citizenship? Which country that does not take
India?
India.
And South Africa, after the new Immigration Act, didn't allow dual citizenship if the other country doesn't allow it. We allow it if the other country is fine with it. But if
so does India allow it?
No.
So what is the problem of getting information from people who have renounced their citizenship?
They wouldn't have been required to renounce it prior to 98, when the two families first applied, 92 and 96.
No, which was... Okay, Hossein, you can come in.
Chair, I think you're onto something, although Adam is not wrong. But India may have made the decision, we don't know, and that's the information we can find out. Because our law kicked in 2013.
Yeah.
So they were granted citizenship before that, so it's fine. But India's law would have kicked in long before that,
yes,
so it didn't impact there.
India does
so
not
we can always ask them, have you terminated the citizenship of these people, knowing very well that they have now taken citizenship of South Africa?
That is a point that we're trying to ask them. Eddie, you can speak about the High Commissioner.
Both the High Commissioner, like I indicated, they have the letter that we wrote to them, so we're still waiting for their response. Even this morning I tried to call them just to find out, because I indicated that no, we need the information before tomorrow. I think we had about, in that letter it was about 12 individuals that we requested a proof of renunciation of their citizenship.
Seeing that Ntate Eddie, you are having some challenges. Why can't you work with your counterpart in the international relation to speed up the process?
With that, Oswald, have you tapped into international relations?
No, I have not done that, but what I did was to contact them yesterday after the meeting, and then I was informed the person who I was speaking to was meeting with the High Commissioner, but I'm not sure if they were discussing that issue. So this morning I could not get that person.
Okay. Can we agree that we wrote the letter, no? Can we agree that via international desk again, that we make, we're working, don't feel bad, that we sort of write an agent letter again. Because it's very important that, you know, when we have such information, it will help us, not only around this work that we are doing. Look at the standoff currently between the State Capture Commission failing to secure the Guptas to come back to South Africa and appear before the commission. And they are using some kind of a approach that they are not South Africans generally. So they can only do it in Dubai. But if it's South African, it's a different story. So it's important to confirm the citizenship of this people. It's very, very important. Now, what we must do is that through you legal, you'll help us quickly. We write this letter when we leave this meeting now, inform them that the Parliament has already now started with its inquiry tomorrow, and we're looking forward to receive the information from the Indian High Commissioner. Failure to which they must send someone to come and speak to us why they cannot give us information. You know? If they are unable, they must send someone to come and speak to the Committee of Parliament why they cannot give us that information, unless they are not in possession of that information. If it needs to be an international, a diplomatic crisis, let it be so. You know, we want that information. It's a very important information. So can you agree on the... Because what we'll then do is that either we'll issue out to someone, the High Commissioner to come and talk to us. This is Parliament. The Constitution is very clear of the powers and privileges of Parliament. You know? So you cannot request such high level office request information and we are not even responded. Did they respond in writing?
No, they didn't.
They did not even respond in writing, you see? And that's where the problem comes.
They say they received
their letter. No, telephonically he speaks to whoever, but they are not talking about, you know, formally engaging. We wrote a formal letter from Parliament requesting such. I think attach that letter that you wrote as you go to the international desk and make sure that that is brought before the High Commissioner before the end of today. Because it's going to be, you see, it's going to be useless of us having gone deeper into looking into this thing and not be able to determine if these people have renounced their Indian citizenship. It's not going to help us much. So we need to confirm that. It's a very important component of this investigation that we're doing here. Okay, so let's go to the next remaining documents. What affidavit is this now? No, that's soon the right. You put it twice.
No, you went through everything.
Oh, okay. And the last page, okay, we're in the last page. Now, colleagues, this is the legal that we've managed to package with the team. What's going to be of very much interest for me was going to be how do we package ourselves, prepare ourselves for the first meeting tomorrow, looking into... Give me that list of questions. Looking into... Yes, I don't have it in this file. Looking into... questions that have to go through in the engagement. You'll know that the approach that we have taken is that members themselves will ask these questions. We don't have the lead evidence where you'll be guiding us and doing all of these other things before
we come in, but this time around it's members from the start. The questions that you see, they are questions that are meant for. Now, I was going to propose that each one of us, out of the five questions that are there, it may not be all of them, it's not, they may respond to one or two. Some of them you may find that is answered even before you ask them. I was going to propose that each one of us must take, each, number one must have a name of the first person who's going to ask the question. We share the question amongst ourselves, right? Can we agree on that approach, colleagues? Or do you want me to give you a little bit of time on your own to go through and submit before 3 o'clock today? How do you want us to do it? We can do it here, or you can go read these questions and be comfortable of the questions that you want to ask, and then tick your name in it, and tick and tick, and then send it to AD. Then we finalize. Or you want us to do it now? Gekana, I saw your hand, and then Hossein, you can come in, and then Nomkhali. Okay, we'll take. Let me take the first two. The third, then we'll come. I'll start with you, Nomkhali.
I'm not just yet the chair. I just want to get a clarity. Are all people confirmed that they are coming?
I wanted the program now.
Let me deal with the program before we go to question. Just go to the mic, Eddie. Go to the mic and just go through the program.
I've emailed the program to members. Then for tomorrow, we've got Otter, they're coming. They have confirmed that they're coming to present. Then the MEC in the Northwest and the HOD, they have not yet confirmed. But they did receive the invitation. And then the department, Richard Skakane, yeah? I've got a list of people that are coming from the department. Richard Skakane is one of them. Then the adjudication committee, Jackson McKay, Wusim Kize, who's the former DDG for Civic Services, has confirmed coming. Major Gobese is also part of the delegation from the department. And then Gideon Christian is also part of the delegation that is coming from the department. On the 18th of September, Mr. Shwala, we failed to get his email address. The email address that I had, they just came back, so he has not yet confirmed whether he's coming or not. Then the former DG Aplane is coming. Mr. Mavuso is coming. The understanding is that also the minister is coming. So those are the people that have confirmed.
So the questions, we divided them up according to the stakeholders, but bear in mind that some of them have already been responded to by the department in their response. So, and some of them are new questions. So I think these questions need to be read in response in collaboration with the report that was submitted to Home Affairs after we did the questions. And the
what is more of the of the old question vis-a-vis the new response? Why can't we sort of especially between the mostly it's about the Northwest is okay, I'm fine with the issues of the Northwest, but the issue from Richard Skakane to Major Kobisa, Coronias, Christian, Aplene, and Gigaba, why can't we begin to focus our energy around the responses, which is the last 11 questions that emanate from the responder for our document. And then what we then do with the rest of these ones, you'll then know that when we deal with Richard Skakane, is the issue of adjudication, right? What are the issues there, right? Identify if within this response here, the issue of Richard does not appear, then we look at the questions that we have put around Richard Skakane that are relevant. Because we have piled about a lot of questions around the adjudication committee, which ones that are relevant, right? then go to Major Kobisa again. Which ones are relevant? We look at those questions. I think that exercise is a very important exercise. And maybe it can be done, maybe if we do this, if we agree with the principle first, that we'll share these questions. Each one of us will have the question that is going to ask around each and every of these people who are going to appear. Mam Kalib?
Chair, Ed is saying that the department, MSC for Education from Northwest, is not confirmed.
No, he will come.
In Chawla. So they are coming?
They are coming.
In Chawla.
I spoke to the MSC
okay.
last night, and he was confirming that he's coming, him and the HOD and the and some legal person from the legislature.
So the only person that you are struggling is Ashua Chawla?
Ashua Chawla.
Okay, Chawla. So what are we going to do?
Well, what we must do is that because we identify him as a key witness and we're struggling to find him, is to ignite the necessary investigation for police to go and look for him. That's the only thing that we can do. That's the only thing that we can do. I mean, from here, Parliament does not have to run around. I mean, the only thing to do is to say that we request that we issue out now a subpoena, police must look for him. That's the only thing that we can do. Because on the day that we deal with it, I think this is what we must do. That we have really struggled to find him, the only thing to get him now, because if you have a subpoena, then the police will find him. And they will bring him. Before we close the report, when we come back next year, you will have appeared. Then we can close. That's the only way. Because he's a key person that we see as being in the player around the issue of, and he's the mastermind around this thing, that Chawla person, him and Christian. They are the most captured, or we have captured the department. Okay, you can come in.
Just two things quickly on that list of names. There was a list of names that we agreed on in the report, and we added there. So I don't have that with me now. Is perhaps maybe
that list is supposed to remain there. We have just added the last names. Check the report.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. What about the Gupta family themselves? We've agreed that we were going to
You know what you do. You know what I suggest there, Hossein? Rather than wanting to come and call the Guptas now, let's deal with our
blue last page. Yellow, first yellow.
And then there's
you know what you can do? No. You know what you do, Hossein?
You
know what you do? Rather than making a decision that we're calling them, we can list them now. Because you see, all these individuals that we have listed here are not immune from us having to call them. What we can do is maybe to agree that let's put the head of these families there. You know? You put RJ, you put, who's the other one? Atul.
And Rajesh.
You put them here, right, as possible witness, because Adam, the point is made here. Bradon, I want your comment on this one.
And then show me.
Because it will make a lot of sense to say, whom are we investigating? Right, we're investigating the following person. So it means that this person can be witnesses. So you put their names down.
Yeah, and this Nazim Hawa.
Anna, can we agree on that part? Does it make sense of what is it that we're doing here? Can we agree, Adam, that we'll put the names of the three families?
IEC
and an IEC.
Yeah, but Chair,
what does IEC got to do with that?
Well, IEC just needed to confirm, I think, their sentence.
To what? IEC. Oh, which first? What IEC got to do with this thing now?
The use of ANN7
for what?
For advertising.
No, man, please, man. That's no. You can deal with issues of IEC advertising at NN7 and the contract. No, man, don't put ourselves there. If it's got to do with the IEC on the citizenship of the Guptas, it's something we can talk about. Of registration of what? Of voter registration. No, of voters' role. Voters' role we can help us, right? Rather than putting IEC on the contract of the watchdog. So you can talk about the issue of the voters' role. Yeah, put the issue of voters' role, not the contract that people have using NN7 to advertise for IEC. It just does not make sense, right? That's like, we're not fighting. That's a good thing that we must do. That's why we're here. So we can put to confirm the voters' role of the following individual. Now, with that, what you do? With that, what you do? What you do with that? You list the ID numbers of all of them. Home Affairs will give you that response. All of them, you take this thing, you give it to the IEC to confirm that these people are in your voters' role. That's all. Rather than putting IEC here. And I don't want us to found to be putting an independent body of that nature that's going to be running elections into disrepute with the Gupta related issues now. You understand? So we take it out there. We'll write to them formally now after. Yeah, we'll write to them formally, and then we have this list of people that want to confirm if these people are in the voters' role. It's very important.
They have.
What is this?
Okay, so you'll think of that IEC then. I don't want us to appear as if we want to put these things. We're dealing with a serious criminal case here of people who have run away out of the country.
Yeah.
We can't approach it and want to put everything in the table. So can you agree that we'll then take out the issue of the IEC then?
Then
no, just mark it out. Mark it out.
Chair, there was one more. Is this guy who provided this affidavit, is it Sundaram?
Sundaram.
He offered to do a video link of some sort. You remember we talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we tried to. I'm not sure if we've managed it to get the Sundarai having to do a video link with him. But this affidavit, I think, suffices more than.
Yeah, that
affidavit is a what they call it.
It's one statement.
It's a signed affidavit.
Signed internationally applicable affidavit. So the details are there pretty...
So we may want to deal with the details that are
there. We can get it. The man is just in hospital, so we didn't want to bring him in.
That's fine. Okay?
Chair, just one more question I have, then I'm done.
Yeah.
I agree with your proposal of sharing the questions. The question I have, and a follow-up on that, is how do we deal with follow-up questions?
Okay.
Because... You know, if Figlin asks the question and
let's agree that what we'll do is that let's allocate now in the program. How much are we saying? Where's the copy of the program? How much time are we giving to each person? We're giving.
Eight to nine.
Where do we start? We're starting here, it's 8 to 9, so they can't present for the whole, right? So we give them 20 minutes presentation, and then 40 minutes for members. And then how many questions do we have then?
Five
or six. And then we then say 4 minutes per member, right? So it gives you an opportunity to read your question first and then still to be able to come back with a follow-up. It gives you that opportunity. Because you are now going to be dealing with one question, let's say, right? You have one question, but we're going to share questions, right? So you ask your question and then they respond, and you must push them that how you put your question is important, that they must not be long. And then you make your follow-up, right? And then we'll try and keep timekeeper, so that, you know, we're able to guide, so that we're satisfied that the five questions they've gone through and they've responded and the follow-ups they've gone through. Yeah, Kegan?
Yeah, just let me confirm that you are
Can we at least afford time to ask maybe to?
Now, you know what we must do there?
Yeah.
I want us to look at the responses from the department vis-a-vis the question of put up play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we may find that we have to cut down, mm-hmm. but identify critical questions that we must not miss in the space. Rather than having put one of them, and then we end up being appearing as if we're just fishing. But we have to zoom into key questions that we want to deal with. Okay, come on down. Come on down. Sorry, sorry, the camera. Come on down. Come on down.
Let us allocate members and things. One member for culture, who is the primary thing. And then thereafter, and follow up. But one member asked this question. Then they can follow up, but be aware that
they
can. Yeah, because now this member also has got much, much more now on order. And then no order in is out.
And then
get the critical question first. Then we can ask our questions. We feel that we
okay. I think it makes sense.
Yeah. So who's the, do we want us to allocate now? Who's the first member that is open? Not one who like, I'll do the counting because I'll use my prerogative as a chair.
Chairperson,
Yemas is on the floor.
I'm sorry. Chairperson, I think what we can do on the first questions, maybe we give the whippery from your side, EFF, DA, what you call it, and then the leftovers. IFP and IFP. Mamangomo. I suggest then, Chairperson, and then the leftover we can share it maybe between the parties.
No, well, not for now, you can reserve the DG for me. I'm starting one. Give me the DG. And then there is a little bit about Kampali.
I'll take
them in a
second.
No,
but I don't want to put you in a
So the principle of committee is that one member is going to ask questions, then the member will come and follow up.
We put on, it's on.
You want?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So
Mabuso ke mabuso. Let's hear it. Let's hear this for what is going to happen is that we're going to start at what time? 8 o'clock tomorrow. No, this is what is happening tomorrow. We're starting at 8. So colleagues will have to be up early. The program as it stands, and I'm not going to want you to be hard on yourself. The main issues for tomorrow is going to be the outer, right? So the person dealing with outer tomorrow is going to prepare ourselves in the we'll give you the backup support.
No, it's fine. We'll give you the backup support, right? What we'll do is that we'll look at the questions that you raise, and then members quietly don't raise their hand to assist you with the follow-up.
If there's
a follow-up, okay? So meaning that you must know as you deal with that, we have a team around you. And this team is going to be helping you, will be listening to the responses and all of that. Same applies with the next person that comes in, who's going to be the MEC. Same applies. We are going to operate as a team. You're going to ask your questions. If members see that there's a critical question that is not responded or you have not answered, you have not asked, members will raise their hand and will be given the opportunity within a timeline. So we're going to operate as a team, all of us, right? Whoever that is, any item, any person that appears there, Tina will make sure that we intervene at the technical level from the chair point of view here, because we'll get a guide. Because what we want to achieve at the end of the day is to confirm that all these Gupta families got the citizenship correctly. Without favor, they followed the process. This is what we must achieve, we must get. If there's a problem that we have identified, we're going to sit into that problem until it's clarified. Right? Those who will be dealing with the minister will be guided by the response of the department, which is very important. Right? So you zoom into those questions there, and then come to the point. In the when you deal with the minister, I think issues are very clear there. The issues there is about after the adjudication committee. Here is an application, people are declined, then here is the adjudication making this recommendation, and then it then sends it back. That sends back is very important. What is the response of the department now, going back to the minister? It's very, very important that the minister, in the advice of the department, that must come out. That is why when we deal with Aplane, you must be able to raise this issue of administration around Aplane, right? The process of adjudication, the team was established, applications were received, from each office they were received this application, how they were processed, adjudication committee, what issues did you look at, right? Then make a, what's called, a decision that you are declining it. And then what informs you on that? So these are key areas that you have to sit on. And then these people then appeal to the minister. Right? Then you look at that appealing, and then the minister sending it back. It makes recorded documents, sending it back. Right? We've got annexures and annexures. Each item that we're going to sit with, we're going to prepare for that. Meaning that when we finish with the two, the three that we are dealing with tomorrow, this is the three. We're dealing with how many tomorrow? Three.
One, two, three, four.
Tomorrow.
Five, six, seven.
Seven people. Who's not coming? One of them is not coming.
Chowl.
It's only Chowl.
That's the following. That's the following.
Okay.
So tomorrow is the 100th.
Yeah. So we're going to prepare, we're preparing for that, ne? For the following day, after the meeting again, we'll then have a session just to prepare for the following day.
Yeah.
Which is going to be key. The following day is that a plane, right? It's the minister, right? And who else? No, this one we said there's nothing much. So the two will have to prepare for the following day.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the crack of the issue is going to come in, right? And I'm saying that those who are dealing with the following day, you may want to spend most of the time tomorrow just dealing with preparation and listening. Okay? Then the following day, you're going to be leading in the process. Okay? All right, colleagues, that's fine then. Let's meet tomorrow. Now, how do you deal with issues of transport, Eddie, for members who the meeting is starting early?
A day late, because we're not going to finish in time. We're going to work until late. What do you do?
When I applied for the meeting, we did indicate that there might be a possibility of members leaving late. So
Coming early,
we never thought of it because initially it was 9:30, so we just changed because of the sitting tomorrow.
Can we make it?
No, the following day is 9:30.
Let's make 8:30, guys,
tomorrow.
Yeah, let's make it thing. Is it fine? I know. But at the end of the Saturday night.
Okay,
Okay, guys, that's fine then.
We'll see each other tomorrow, but please just go and confirm that it's fine.
Yeah.
Just confirm
that
it's fine. Yeah, I don't think anything.
I'm going to go to the next one.